just suggest this. In hindsight, Mike German, maybe an agent who discovers wrongdoing should not go to their boss, should not go to Director Mueller, but should go directly to members of Congress who should protect their identity so they won't be retaliated against. Is that the message for agents at this point? Don't trust your bosses. Go to Congress. They're the only ones that will protect you.
Certainly, I wish I had gone to Congress earlier. I think I probably would have gotten better protection if I'd gone to Congress earlier.
It's an amazing story. Mike German, in my view, you are an American hero. I think you will be vindicated, and I'm very honored to have you here on the Inside Scoop. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
That's it for the Inside Scoop. I hope you've enjoyed this very special show. Tune in next week for more of the Inside Scoop.
Have people of a certain age have their own horror of that kind of thing because we remember the collapse of the Silver Bridge.
This is the Quality News Network. Five nuclear cruise missiles were mistakenly mounted under the wings of a B-52 bomber and transported from a North Dakota Air Force base to one in Louisiana last week. The Air Force says there was never a danger to the American public. German police arrested three suspected Al-Qaeda-inspired terrorists in overnight raids following a tip accusing the men of plotting attacks on the Frankfurt Airport and the Ramstein U.S. Air Force base. Police seized 1,500 pounds of hydrogen peroxide, an ingredient in potent explosives. The men will be arraigned today. The eight Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists who were arrested in Copenhagen on Monday on suspicions of planning a bombing appeared in court today, all pleading not guilty. The suspects have been under surveillance for months now. President Bush is in Australia today, meeting with Prime Minister John Howard. The Prime Minister pledged to keep Australian forces in Iraq. The two leaders then signed a treaty granting Australia more access to top-secret U.S. intelligence. A Florida judge has temporarily blocked the extradition of former Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega to France. His attorneys need extra time to argue that his rights under the Geneva Conventions will not be protected if extradited. In Nevada, officials are using Google satellite imagery in the search for Steve Fawcett, who disappeared while piloting a single-engine plane on Monday morning. The 63-year-old was looking for a location for his next attempt to break the land speed record. Idaho Senator Larry Craig says he will only resign if his attempt to withdraw his guilty plea fails. The veteran Republican lawmaker has hired a prominent attorney to fight charges after being arrested in a sex sting in a public restroom. Fraudulent Democratic fundraiser Norman Sue is on the run again after failing to show up for his court date today. More than $80,000 in Democratic campaign donations from Sue are being donated to charity. The District of Columbia is asking the Supreme Court to consider a ruling regarding the Second Amendment for the first time in almost 70 years. District officials are asking the High Court to overturn a federal court decision striking down a ban on private handgun ownership. Republican presidential candidates will gather tonight at the University of New Hampshire for a debate to air on Fox News at 9 o'clock Eastern. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
Federal advisors have recommended that an experimental HIV drug should be quickly approved. The panel of independent experts agreed unanimously that the Merck-made drug is worthy of accelerated approval by the Food and Drug Administration. A decision on Isentris will come by mid-October. The European Society of Cardiology says that exercising may actually generate new blood vessels in bones and muscles. The new vessels can help repair cardiovascular problems. But bad news for your heart out of Austria, doctors are saying that global warming could cause a worldwide increase in heart disease. Medical researchers are warning consumers the fumes of butter-flavored microwave popcorn may be dangerous. There are already reports of lung disease from workers in factories that produce the product. Thousands of Manhattan taxi drivers went on strike today, protesting fare hikes and mandatory tech updates for their cabs. The strike is scheduled to last 72 hours. Apple today unveiled its much-anticipated new iPod models. The existing devices were revamped and the new iPod Touch was released. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.73 a barrel. Gold is trading at $690.70 an ounce. Wall Street is now closed. The Dow is down 143.39 points. The NASDAQ is down 24.29 points. And the S&P 500 is down 17.13. There's more on our website, Quality News Network.
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Sleep tight tonight, America! Your Air Force is awake! I remember when that was a poster and it showed some grizzled old guy with no teeth inside an astronaut helmet. Do you remember? Are you old enough to remember that poster? Sleep tight tonight, America. Your Air Force is awake. It was kind of funny back then. It's not so funny now. The Pentagon, yeah, you know this story already. They just mentioned it on the news. The Pentagon has actually confirmed that, unbeknownst to them, a crew of a B-52 crew flew around America recently. This isn't one of those stories from, you know, back in the bad old Cold War days, you know, when we made some mistakes and radiated half of Nevada and that kind of stuff. No, 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 this isn't that old story. This is a brand new screw-up. And in point of fact, the United States Air Force has confirmed that it flew six nuclear weapons hither, thither, and yon around the United States between Louisiana and North Dakota. Here's how the Associated Press puts it. A B-52 bomber was mistakenly armed... Oh, Jesus. Mistakenly armed with six nuclear warheads and flown for more than 3 hours across several states last week. Last week, last week, last week. Did you catch that? Last week! Prompting an Air Force investigation and the firing of one commander, Pentagon officials said Wednesday. Wing Commander General Jack V. Ripper had no comment. Oh, God. We are living in the middle of Dr. Strangelove.
Mein Führer, I can walk!
Is this the part where we start singing, cue the Vera Lynn singing We'll Meet Again Some Sunny Day? Representative Ike Skelton of Missouri is none too happy about things. He said the mishandling of the weapons was deeply disturbing.
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
God bless you, General Ripper. You're a great American. Congressman Skelton found it highly disturbing. Can we please stop using the weasel words in Washington just for a day or so? Or can we, in a story like this, can we at least once use appropriate words like, holy crap, they flew nukes around the country.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
It's just astonishing. Now, okay, let's your hair down. Let all the paranoia just run wild and free around the internet. And what if that thing had crashed? And there was a mushroom cloud over, say, East St. Louis, Illinois. Or Ben's in Chicago, dear. My wife and Maps, you don't want to know. She's like that Caitlin Upton girl from South Carolina who... you saw that. See, I just got under her skin. But what if something had happened to that plane? I know some of you are more, more prone to believe wild things about the government than perhaps I am. Or it's a continuum from absolutely not to absolutely everything. If that plane had gone down and a mushroom cloud had gone up, how quick would the Bush administration have been to blame it on the tourists? They kind of would have had to, wouldn't they? See how paranoid I am? Woohoo! Crazy! But they would have. If something had happened to that plane with those 6 nuclear warheads, they would have had to blame it on the tourists. Because they blame everything on the Turks. The plane was carrying advanced cruise missiles from Minot Air Force Base, North Dakota, to Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana. And the missiles, which are being decommissioned, were mounted onto pylons on the bomber's wings, and it's unclear why the warheads had not been removed beforehand. Is it unclear? Is it really unclear? Is it possible? Just asking here. Is it possible that they may be part of the targeting of Iran? The investigation's going to just take weeks. The Pentagon, it's going to take weeks. And whatever the Pentagon says, there's going to be an element of the populace out there that says, "Bop." That's crazy. No, they're lying. Because to one degree or another, the Air Force probably will be lying. Skelton said his committee will pursue answers on the classified matter, quote, to ensure that the Air Force and the Department of Defense address this particular incident and strengthen controls more generally. The munitions squadron commander was relieved of his duties. Ground crew workers have been temporarily decertified for handling munitions. And you can't help but wonder how many times... I'm sorry. This is a natural human response to a story like this. You can't help but wonder how many times this has happened before. And this time... word just got out. Am I just a raving paranoiac now? Am I just crazy, crazy, crazy? But I'm sorry, this story seems a little... Well, I don't know. Somebody get Dr. Jung on the phone. I need to get on the couch because I'm having some problems here. the timing of this just seems a little bit strange in light of all the info that we're getting about what the Bush administration has in the pipeline for Iran. If you like, well, many of you are like me, you're dedicated diehard Bart Cop fans. And on his page yesterday, you had to click to another page to get to it, but he had a lengthy piece of correspondence from one of his readers who'd been talking with a friend of his who is an LSO, landing signals officer, LS something, on some supercarrier in the Gulf, Persian Gulf, not Gulf of Mexico, who basically told him that all the targets have been picked, all the assets have been prioritized, and the American people will not know about what has been done to Iran until it is already a fait accompli. And frankly, that's the kind of thing that just sits me up in bed at night in a cold, cold sweat. Did you catch Keith Olbermann's special comment last night on Countdown? I know, talking about TV on the radio is dancing about architecture. I know. And I'm not going to play you a clip of it. It's been emailed to me 9 dozen times, and I appreciate it. I think I've watched it every time it's been emailed, because he called George Bush a liar.
Which he is.
Thank you, Agnes. I was getting around to that. Never mind the fact, and I guess maybe for some portion of the United States, calling George Bush a liar is somehow shocking. But yeah, he did. And Agnes was back here one of the times that I was watching it, and she looked at it and said, "But Bob, you talk like that all the time." But I am not nearly as studly and handsome as Keith Olbermann is. That man's got so much courage. He had somebody walk up behind him on the air the other night and pull his hair to prove that it's not a toupee, because the right-wing freak Mark Levin, not our Mark Levine, Mark Levin, right-wingers call here all the time thinking, "I want to talk to Mark Levin, that great American," has accused Keith Olbermann of being bald. So he put that to rest the other night, because that's what matters. And it's about the hair on your head, not the brains in hair on your head, not the brains in it. But there's something about listening to the, we all get word troubles. We all get a level of catharsis out of watching, hearing one of Keith Olbermann's special comments. Because he is, in fact, giving voice to something that a lot of us say privately and some of us say publicly. I consider this show to be public. And he says it eloquently, and he says it loaded with facts, and he doesn't scream, I scream. And it does something for you. It makes you feel like this country is not entirely post-mortem. Does that make any sense? And then it's over, and you sit there and you think, what does it take to get the rest of the country to understand how spot-on correct Keith Olbermann is? And you wonder if the rest of the country can be brought along. You wonder if the rest of the country cares. You wonder if the rest of the country is over there watching Glenn Beck, or you know, the odd little demographic that watches Falafel Man over on Fox. And then the depression sets in, doesn't it? It does. It's a little bit depressing, because you realize how far, regardless of how much you and I know, you know how far we have to go to save this nation. And this is a nation desperately in need of salvation. So the bottom line is that as you know, I feel better. I feel better getting behind the microphone here and at least trying to talk a little bit of truth. Talk some facts. And I know that you're getting, because the email tells me that you get a lot out of this and you see this as being well worth your time. And then what happens? What's next? Because I'll be honest, the thing with the attack on Iran, I mean, I'm seeing article after article after article after article saying it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. We're going to see the big ramp up. We're going to see the big sales pitch for attacking Iran starting this week, and that it will happen sometime, you know, between what? Sometime this fall, sometime in the next 8 weeks. And I don't know if this is you tell me, is this something that's peculiar to me, or is it happening to you too? This almost immobilizing sense of dread that some morning you're going to get up and you're going to go to check your news on the computer because you don't watch the television box anymore. And you're going to find out that just like they said, we've already attacked Iran and there wasn't anything anybody could do about it. Do you have that sense of dread? Do you have that feeling? Tell me, please. Tell me I'm not all alone. And you want to hear the really sick part? And I'll say this to you because I don't think I could say it to many others and have very many people understand what I mean by it. Sometimes I catch myself thinking, if you're going to do it, do it. Quit screwing around. If you're going to start World War III, start it. If you're going to massacre and murder Iran, do it. Get going. Quit with the drama. Stop with the other shoe hanging in midair. Do it. Am I out of my mind? I can't. I don't want it to happen. I don't ever want it to happen. But I sense in myself what I think they're trying to create in the soul of the rest of America, and that is the sense that this attack on Iran is inevitable. Not that Iran is doing anything to us. Not that Iran is violating any law. Not that Iran has even been proven to be pursuing a nuclear device. The whole Iran wants a nuclear device thing is a manufactured piece of crap that the Bush administration is pumping out there that's contrary to every fact related to their attempt to build a nuclear reactor. And somehow, inside of me, by virtue of the propaganda that's been put out there, the Bob Baer saying, you know, it's going to happen, and then, who was it? Michael Bolton? No, John Bolton. Not the singer, the guy with the mustache. Saying, well, I don't know if they're going to, but I sure hope they do. And you just sit, and something happens inside your skull, and I mean, I feel evil for what I'm talking about here, okay? I mean, I feel like I'm as evil as the evil people are that I would sit here and say, well, you know, you're going to do it, just do it. Because then, I don't even know what happens after that. I got an email from our good friend Tosh, who said, you know, have these morons forgotten what one Exocet missile did to the HMS Sheffield in the South Atlantic? Do they think that Iran is just going to sit idly by? And he noted that Iran may be the first time that our Air Force, Navy and Air Force, have gone up against planes of similar quality. to what we have. And that this may not be shooting fish in a barrel, and that this most certainly will not be like Iraq. And I've just got shivering dread all over me. William is calling from California, first-time caller. Good to hear from you, William.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Yes, I'm a first-time caller.
Yes.
I was just listening to you talking about Iran, and you're not alone. I feel pretty much the same way you do about this.
But, are you convinced it's going to happen, William?
Well, you know, I have this dread, just like you described. It's this feeling, you know, it keeps coming and going, this topic. I mean, I go on different blogs, and you hear it before 2006, you know, the October surprise, and, you know, then it fades away. But each time it seems to come back, it comes back with more and more evidence that it could happen. And not only more evidence, but by people who would know that it could happen, you know. And that's what concerns me a lot. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past this administration or, you know, Cheney, whoever's in, you know, involved in this directly, that they wouldn't do something like this.
I'm flummoxed. I really am. I spent, I've been away from the microphone for a few days because of the extended holiday weekend, and we had to be out yesterday. And all weekend long, this has just been weighing on me, William. And I caught myself thinking, you know, just do it. Because then maybe we can respond to it. Then maybe somebody will impeach you. Then maybe somebody will try to stop them. But is there even any hope in that?
You know, I felt exactly the same way, and that's the reason I called, and I listen to your show quite a bit, and that's the reason I called in, because there's this part of that you feel guilty thinking that way, but the other side of you says, you know, you're just tired of dealing with this other shoe hanging, waiting to drop, and you just want it over, even though I don't want anything to happen. But it's like I don't know. It's the prying on your mind constantly that it's going to happen, you know, and waiting for something like this to happen.
And I sit and I think, William, about how they'll justify it. Because I said a long, long time back, and this isn't me tooting my own trumpet, it's just a matter of noticing things and sort of trying to think like they think. There's not going to... Because the key to all the stuff that's floating around now is this statement that nobody will know it's going to happen until they wake up and it's already been done.
Right.
And that means that they're going to use the Iraq War resolution as the justification for the attack on Iran.
Right.
And at
that's
that...
What it's,
go ahead.
That's what it seems like. I mean, everything's... mid-September, mid-this month, is where everything seems to be all climbing together at the same time. I mean, you have, the September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
You have Petraeus... I think they talked about the 11th, but then I hear something about September 10th he's supposed to talk.
Right.
Or give his thing. I don't know if they changed that or not, or if it's a two-day ordeal. I'm not even sure about that. And then there's this demonstration in D.C. Also, you hear that they're going to send troops to D.C. on that same, the 14th or 15th, something of that in
right.
The order.
Right.
So there's that part of it. And I try to sort it out in my head, and I try to sit back and take a deep breath and relax and be logical and say, oh, this is coincidental. But how much coincidence can you put in a drawer and shut and walk away from?
And how many coincidences, how many dozen to the gross? How many coincidences to the plan, if you know what I mean?
Right. That's, yeah.
And I'll add one more to the mix for you. You mentioned the Petraeus report, William.
Right.
What do you want to bet? I'm not a betting man, but just friendly wager. What do you want to bet that the Petraeus report, which is, we already know, being authored by the White House and not General Petraeus.
Right.
What do you want to bet that that has a significant portion of the report which talks about the Iranian interference and support for Shiite militias?
Oh, it's a good portion of it. Because, like you just said, the key to that is it's not Petraeus' report. This is Petraeus going to the White House, and they're going to revamp this however they need to. And certainly there's going to be something about her.
And see, when that's in there, William, then automatically that makes Iran, or it makes the Iranian problem, if you will, a part of the Iraqi theater. And the way that these neocon monsters think, what they next say is that they don't need justification from Congress, they don't need to go to Congress, that they will do it within the president's war powers parameters under the Iraq War resolution, and boom, not even a chance to stop him in Congress.
Exactly. You know, Congress is working on issues, you know, that have to do with the United States. They're not working on issues so much as to try and impeach him. They're not working on issues, which is the United States, of course, but it's also international, to get Bush out of there and Cheney. I mean, it's for the world's sake, not just the United States. Also, I lost my train of thought. I've got so many things in my mind that I, you know, keep rushing through there, but I forget what I was going to say.
I understand completely. It happens to me all the time.
Yeah, just boom. I'm getting old. But, you've got a train of thought going, and all of a sudden just a little circuit went. But there was one other thing that was troubling to me, too, about all this. Oh, Bush going to Iraq in the safe zone, of course, mm-hmm. just the other day. Surprise, surprise. You know, what was that all about?
Well,
he didn't go there to deliver a turkey. He didn't go there to do anything.
He got that cost the American people a couple of million dollar snapshot.
Oh,
that's all that was a photo opportunity.
Exactly. I mean, they could have done that over, they wanted a Photoshop with Bush, put him on some stage set in Hollywood here, and have his photo shoot. You know, it would be just as legitimate, wouldn't it?
William, you got to be careful. I don't think you can say shoot and Bush in the same sentence anymore under the latest incarnation of the Patriot Act.
I wasn't thinking clearly there.
William, it's so good to hear from you. I'm glad I'm not out here in the hinterlands by myself, because it's a sickening feeling, isn't it?
It is, and that's why I wanted to call, because, you know, I've felt that way a few times already, and I've been battling with it. And you just get to the point where you just do it already, just get it over with, because I can't take this anymore, this wondering. But the horrific part of it is you don't want anything to happen.
No.
You know, and I feel guilty, but they tear you in half with this game. You know, they tear you in half between common sense and some sort of psychotic relief, you know?
Yeah, I do. I do indeed, because all the indications are that this isn't going to be some little, you know, there's nothing, they like to use the word surgical. There's not going to be anything surgical about this. This is going to be a shotgun blast. Everything that you read says that the targets number in the thousands.
Yes.
And that every asset that we have in the Persian Gulf has been allocated, and the targets have been chosen and prioritized. And you can't mount an attack like that on a nation such as Iran, or any other for that matter, and not know going in that you are deliberately killing non-combatant civilians.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, even the scientists, the technicians, if that's what we want to call them, who are working on the centrifuges, and to be fair, Ahmadinejad didn't make it any easier last week, coming out bragging that they brought their 3,000th centrifuge online.
Right.
I don't believe it. The Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, didn't believe it. But you know what? That doesn't matter, because Dick Cheney and George Bush do. And they would, I mean, they would believe Ahmadinejad if he came out in a little devil suit and said, "Guess who I am?" Oh, he's the devil.
Yes, and he's just, you know, I don't know if it's belief that Bush and Cheney have, or it's just their wishes, their dreams are coming true, and they're just drooling all over themselves because their wishes are coming true.
Precisely.
And they'll believe it just for their own sanity's sake, if they have any sanity.
Well, they believe it, William, because it fits within the worldview. This is a faith-based administration, you've got to remember.
That's true, yeah.
But, you know, the technicians working on the centrifuges, those guys get up every day and they go to work, and they're not, you know, they're not evildoers.
No.
They are breadwinners. They're bringing home the, well, not bacon, they're bringing home food on their families.
Exactly.
And they're just working stiffs. And it's always the working stiffs that take it on the chin.
Yes.
They're not going to kill Ahmadinejad. They're not going to kill any of the mullahs. No.
They're going to all be in their... They'll know. I mean, and, you know, the other part that's troubling about this is, like you said earlier, that they're going to do it, and we're going to find out on the Internet news day after it's happened already. It's just like with 9/11.
Exactly.
Nobody had any indication. I mean, who knew? You know,
and you know, I couldn't.
Is, all of a sudden, now deal with it, and here comes the big fear factor.
I had to run into town today.
Factor this is going to generate.
I had to run into town today, William. A little 2 mile drive, and I looked up at the sky, and it was so perfect and so beautiful and so just high blue sky, perfect. And the first thing that crossed my mind was, "Oh my God, September 11th, 2001 was a day just like this." Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it was like where you are. But that day was absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. And that's the depth of what they've done to our psyches, this Bush administration. You can take something as beautiful as a day like we had here in the hills today, and it can fill you with dread because it's just like another beautiful day that got run all to hell.
Yes.
And then I begin to feel like I need to check into somewhere for a little rest.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I know that feeling all too well.
Well, William, I hope you will call back any time. You're always welcome here, and it's great hearing from you.
Well, it's great talking to you.
And have yourself a wonderful afternoon, and again, don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay, I won't. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling.
You're
bye
welcome.
Now.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's roll this on. Phil's calling from Daytona Beach. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bob. I'd like to pick up where William just left off, that, you know, on 9/11, we the people didn't see it coming. And then tie that to what you've been saying so far tonight, is this time we know and we do see this coming, and if we don't stop it, we can't say we didn't know. Whether we want this or not, Bob, this attack on Iran or preventing attack on Iran is now our responsibility because we know. Also know that we also know two other critical things, that the plan to attack Iran is in place in the PNAC guys. Dick Cheney, a co-founder, has had this plan to attack Iran, and he, you know, using nukes has been, Cy Hirsch revealed that, what, 2-3 years ago, that there was already a directive where if there's any attack, regardless of who does it, Cheney is allowed to give the order to strike Iran with nukes. This is all stuff we know. So, and we also know the second thing is that this Congress will not stop them. Actually, they're from now starting to cheerlead for it. So it really is our responsibility. And I look at it like this, Bob. If you know something's coming, man, if you know, let's say there's someone standing out in the road and you know this car is coming around the corner, and if you don't warn that person that the car is coming, they're going to get hit. You just sit back and say, gee, what can I do? Oh, you know, my psyche's hurt and I'm so tired of all this, and should I be responsible? It's on you for not pulling that guy out of the street before the car hits him. And we want this responsibility or not, we have it, man. and we got to do all we.
Well, let me ask you, Phil, if I could ask you a question, please. And I'm not trying to be the devil's advocate. I'm not. What on earth is there that will stop these monsters?
I believe that we have to do all we can to sound the alarm to our fellows, and also tell Congress we know that this is coming. And you also mentioned the 2002 authorization that Congress gave.
Yeah.
There is legislation right now that's co-sponsored by both Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich to rescind that legislation. There's 20 co-sponsors who are basically signed on, but not doing anything with it. And we have got to talk about it. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners tonight who probably didn't even know that until I just mentioned it. And we got to call up our brother or sister and say, look, call your congressman and tell them about this legislation. You know, that we don't want Bush to use this authorization to attack Iran. You know, and we've got to do, Bob, and we can't. It's almost like the impeachment thing where these members of Congress are saying, oh, we don't have the vote or it'll never pass. That's not the damn. The damn point is that we know this is all right, let's take impeachment. These bastards have committed the most outrageous impeachable offenses, and Congress' duty when they're presented with this evidence is to begin investigations, not to say, well, how many votes do we got, whatever. See what I mean? And so this thing with the attack on Iran, which is coming, these bastards are bragging about it, you know. Cheney's got a hard on for using nukes, man. They want to sit around and get off on it, you know. I hope I'm not getting too raw with my.
No. That's okay. No, the vampires. They're like vampires. They live on this stuff, and there's no getting around it, Phil. So
we have to act, Bob. We can't say we can't not act by saying in our minds, well, what can I do? And me going out and trying to tell three people, is that really going to stop it? Or my congressman doesn't listen to me no matter what. We still have to do the action, Bob.
And I you're absolutely right, Phil, and that's kind of what I'm trying to get at here. And that is, you sit and you watch one of Keith Olbermann's comments.
Yes.
And you say, you know, wow, I feel better. I'm so glad there's somebody out there who's saying this stuff.
Right. Somebody,
but
yourself off the hook.
Exactly. When Keith is done talking, or when this show ends, or
to take that and pass.
Yeah,
others,
it's not over when the little red light goes out.
Exactly.
Keith Olbermann isn't doing what he's doing. I'm not doing what I'm doing. The rest of us aren't doing what we're doing. To make ourselves feel better. This isn't some sort of balm for my conscience. It helps,
well,
but it's not the end of it.
I had this conversation, Bob. Sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead.
But we had this conversation where not everyone can be on the airwaves, you know. And Guy was doing his part by bringing the issue to the listeners, you know, and the information. But if the listener, his own radio show, and is not doing, that's his particular role, then the listener better be doing something else, like taking it to his fellows, his family members, his next door neighbor, the guy in line in the grocery store.
And I guess,
you know,
that's
every time.
That's my question, Phil. When you say it to somebody at the grocery store or at the gas station or the post office or whatever, and they look at you and they go, "You're just crazy."
No, I'll tell you what I do.
How do you deal with that?
Well, it's practice, and I've been doing this for a long time, informing my fellows, being the people. The media has been stolen from us, and corporations own it and change the media, so we have to be the media ourselves. There's no white knight that's going to come along and save the day for us. So what I do is I believe that there's so many anomalies with the 9/11 story that when I use that as my starting point, and like I just went to the cash machine over at the grocery store, and I just start a conversation. I said, "Hey, you know Barbara Streisand?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, her husband's that movie actor, James Brolin, you know, the handsome guy." I said, "Check this out. I was watching TV, and he came on, and he said, go to 911weknow.com, and then they cut right to a commercial, you know. And they said, "Well, what is that?" I said, "Man, I went to the website and checked it out. There is so much stuff they never showed us. It showed the buildings blowing up and the steel beams flying through the air, getting stuck in buildings across the street." And then I said, "Did you know that jet fuel is the same thing as kerosene?" You know, I kind of play a little play acting with it. They said, "No." I said, "Does your kerosene heater in your apartment melt overnight?" They go, "No." I said, "How the hell is it going to melt all these beams at the same time?"
I know, but I'm talking about Iran, Phil.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that I give them something like that and point them to a website, and when you can go to find actual, without doubt, proof that the government is lying and is full of it, that opens you up to seeing all the bull crap and all the other stuff. But, you know, my point is, if you don't like that particular topic, the method is still the same. You just tell somebody, you know. And every time the cable company just called me, they want to sell me more cable, and I told the girl about it. You know, I do the same spiel. I said, "Yeah, well, you should go to this website, you know. Well, thanks for the information." Every opportunity we can to be the media, you see. You know, that's the same with Iran. You know, you could tell them, "Did you know that there's an executive order right now where if there's any attack, regardless of who did it, whether it's on U.S. soil or elsewhere, that the vice president has the authority to order nuclear strikes on Iran?" "No." I said, "Yeah, it's already in place. That's scary." "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to call my congressman about that. You know, it only takes 5 minutes to call. And did you know that you can just call the switchboard if you don't know the number?" "No, I didn't know that." "Yeah, it's 202, 224-3124 or something like that." You see what
I
mean?
Yeah, 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 I do.
You know, because we know, man, we're responsible, and we know the media won't give the truth. The media is going to sell it. Dick Cheney actually has given the order for next week for the media to start selling it. I think I sent you the article on that. So we know that, whether we like it or not, whether it should be or shouldn't be, it's in play. We know that this Congress is not going to voluntarily stop these guys, you know. And so we cannot use the excuse we didn't know.
No, we can't. And that's the whole point. We know.
So if we don't act, I mean, you go to these Martin Luther King quotes, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you know of an evil and you don't stand up to it and fight this evil, then you're part of the evil. I don't, you know, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, no, but I know what you mean.
That's what it comes down to. George Bernard Shaw, a buddy of mine, you know, and I were talking about this morning, how there's still, after 4 years or 5 years, there's still only a handful of us on the corner, you know. And the quote George Bernard Shaw Shaw, you know, with liberty comes responsibility. That's why most men dread it. We're responsible for this, whether we're supposed to be or not. It's lap, man.
Yeah.
The only people who can stop this attack on Iran that we know is coming, we can't say we didn't know.
Well, I think, you know, and I think that's part of what I was talking to William about. That's why they want to do it under the 2002 resolution. They know that they could not go to Congress and get an authorization,
right,
to just attack Iran willy-nilly without some damn good evidence.
Yes.
But then again, that's what we thought about Iraq, too.
Yes, so we know. We
so
know
it's,
that the, and
it's easier to sneak
India's
it in.
Already in play. They're selling it. So there is legislation co-sponsored by Dr. Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich to rescind, you know, and it's a few months old already, Bob. So get on the phone, people. Call your congressman. Tell them to support this legislation. It's a bipartisan legislation.
Bill, will you have a quick look and maybe get me that bill number and email it to me here in a little bit?
It's 26 something or other. I will email it to you.
And I'll let people know so that they, you know, when you call a congressman's office and you actually reference the bill number, then I think to the extent they take you seriously at all, they
and
take you a little more
thing,
so.
When you do call a congressman's office, ask to speak with their, you know, and don't even ask. Say, I'd like to speak with the legislative director, please. You know, well, what's it in reference to will be what the 22-year-old kid will say who answers the phone. And you can say, I'd rather keep this between the legislative director and myself. I'll hold. You know, you got to be almost manipulative with these.
No, you got to be a little forceful.
Say again?
Got to be a little forceful.
Yes, and what should be and what is are two different things. And as long as we just sit back and cry over, you know, and stay stuck in what should be, then we're responsible. And you could remind these kids are trained to not let the call get past them. You know, and you could say, like I say, hey, I'm a veteran, I'm a military member, my kid brother's going back for a second tour, and I don't want to get mad with you, but I'm starting to get very irritated. I'd like to speak with the legislative director right now. Well, he's in a meeting. I said, well, put me through to his voicemail, please. And you know what, Bob? I get calls back from these people.
Cool.
When I
Good.
Leave a voicemail and they call back and then I talk to them and I say, look, we know that this legislation exists. We know that the same people who lied about Iraq are telling the same lies about Iran. And the congressman has a chance to sign on to this bipartisan legislation to rescind this this authorization to wage war on the peoples of the Middle East. And damn it, we know about it, you know. And you tell them they know, you tell them you know, and you want an answer. And you could say, okay, I want to call back from you after you present this to the congressman, you know. Make up some bullshit. Say that you're create some kind of title for yourself. And if you are a veteran, use it, man. I use that all the time.
Well, that carries as it should considerable weight in this debate, Phil. I appreciate everything you've said, and I appreciate everything you do, Phil. You've got the idea. You know what it means.
You're doing. You know what I say to other people when they say, "Hey, thank you for what you're doing." You're doing your part, being this radio, the horn. And I say to other people, you know, so you want to thank me? Do your part. Otherwise, it's all talk, you know.
Yeah.
You got to call your friends on this. You got to call your coworkers on this or your family members. Don't let them get off the hook with, hey, you know, you're really doing a good thing, you know.
Because that's another way of, you know,
taking themselves off the hook. You got to call them on it, man, because there's too much at stake.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you very much, Phil.
Hey, thanks for letting me rant, Bob, and I will send you this legislation.
Let me have the bill number, and we'll make sure that people have that.
You betcha, Bob.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
God, I love Phil. Susan, calling from Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How's it going?
Well, hanging in there. I have some homework for the kiddies to do.
All right.
Get your pencils and papers, because I have some stuff for you to write down.
Okay.
Representative Peter DeFazio has introduced a resolution demanding that any action towards Iraq, I mean, any action towards Iran...
See how easy it is to confuse him?
...vetted by Congress first. Here is the number. It is HConRes33. Phone number you need to call.
HConRes33.
Right. Now, you need to call people. First of all, you need to call 202-225-6416, and that's Peter DeFazio's number. He's not my congressman, by the way, but he is a
congressman.
Where is he from? He's from the Oregon 4th.
Okay.
And you need to tell him, hey, you've done good things. We're going to be pushing our people about it. Then you need to get on the horn to your delegation.
Right.
And say, have you co-sponsored this? If you haven't, why not? We want you to co-sponsor this.
Or introduce it. Has it been introduced in the Senate?
No, it's a House.
I know, but
resolution.
I understand. But has it been? So nothing similar has been introduced in the Senate.
Not to my knowledge, not just yet. I'm going to be calling Wyden's office tomorrow, and I will find out then.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. So is this independent of the legislation that Phil was talking about that
Paul and
Kucinich have introduced?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's something. That's a tangent.
Anything that would work, throw stuff at the wall or whatever is just good.
Oh, I agree. Anything. Do something, because if you sit back and you can't even pick up the phone, when you get up in the morning and you find out that Tehran is ablaze...
It's partly your fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you are complicit. You now have a phone number you can call. You can call the main switchboard, or if you go to let me give you the email address real quick. If you go to www.house.gov, you can put in your zip code and get your representative. And if you just pull up any search engine and type in U.S. Senate, you can do the same thing for the Senate. Pull up your search engine, pull up your Senate. Senator, although you're defined, do the same with them. You should have their numbers on speed dial.
Yeah, at this point.
I've got a Skype account, and they're right up here in my contacts. All I've got to do is go scroll down and go wham. These people know me by my voice.
Good. More of us should be. We should challenge them to learn more voices.
Yeah. I call up and they say, "Oh, hi, Susan. How you doing?" And then they proceed to let me rant.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't think it's ranting at this point.
No, I don't. Well, I have kind of a mini rant I go into about 333 because it always involves a signature question.
33 or 333?
333. This is the impeachment.
Yeah, I was...
Because...
Trying to keep things from getting confused. 333 is impeachment, but HConRes 33 is the one that says you don't so much as light a match
near
Iran without congressional approval.
Exactly. The impeachment thing is I have a standard question. I say, what is it going to take is Bush going to have to be sacrificing babies in Pennsylvania Avenue before you guys will wake up and admit something wrong? Or some variation thereof. It always involves dead babies in Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah.
And I do that for a very, very specific reason. I want to gross out those aides so they will remember me.
Yeah, give them an image to hang on to. Exactly.
Yeah. That crazy lady with the Pennsylvania question called again.
Hey, Susan, thanks so much, dear.
People, call the numbers.
H. Conres 33.
Exactly.
All righty, then.
See you tomorrow.
Okie dokie. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye. Love to Agnes.
Love you.
Right back at you. And before we go to the news, a quick email coming from David in Tennessee regarding the attack on Iran. And, you know, I hate this kind of thinking. I'm not being critical of David, but I hate this kind of thinking because he's got a pretty good handle on the way the monsters think. As sick and disgusting as it may be to us, we rational ones, he writes, it'll be a win-win for the PNAC neocon crowd. A, the American people don't rise up and put 2 million around the White House, and the neocons say, see, America is in favor of war with Iran. We need to declare martial law and stay in power to stabilize the country. Or, B, the American people do put 2 million around the White House. See, we need to declare martial law and make D.C. safe for the president. And obviously we will stay in power to stabilize the country. See, Bob, win-win for them. They think like this, you know. They really, really do. And I tell you what, before we go to the news, let's go ahead and take Sarge. Hey, Sarge, haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing, my friend?
Doing well, man. Looking forward to having Sunday.
I'm looking forward to it, too.
Well, I tell you what, last time it was a great job. You did such a wonderful job, and I'm really looking forward to it. My callers really enjoyed your program, and we're going to talk some more Mountaintop Removal Sunday.
Yes, we are. We certainly are. And, in fact, I've been trying to read up on have a little more detailed information to share with folks, wake up another part of the country about it, because among other things, you know, I know how important water and water rights are and clean water to folks out there in Arizona.
And I tell you what, it's also important in even the Katrina devastated area, because believe me, their infrastructure is still in piss poor shape. So, you know, infrastructure is crumbling. That means your water and everything is affected. So,
here we are in one of the most well-watered sections of the country, Sarge, just throwing it away, literally polluting it as fast as we possibly can.
That's exactly right. And by the way, before I neglect, King David McKenzie, Sean Ryan, Jeff Farias, and all the gang out here, we want to say hello to you and let you know we appreciate everything that you do.
Well, thank you very much, Sarge. I know how hard everybody at that operation works, and they're doing great work, all of the people that you mentioned, and many others, for that matter.
I know it's prayer meeting night, or unless you don't do that anymore.
No, I still do it. It is prayer meeting night. I just I was kind of up to my chin with the Iran terrors, and let it get away from me a little bit. But you're absolutely right.
Well, one thing I did want to mention was I believe we lost one of those televangelists, D. Frank Kennedy or some kind of...
D. James Kennedy. He didn't die, but he retired, didn't he?
My understanding is he died.
Did I miss...
deceased as of today.
As of today? Well, throw another log on the fire, Sarge.
Yeah, you know, King David and I were talking about it, and maybe God's getting pissed, huh? Maybe God's getting pissed. These guys are starting to drop like flies. So,
just not quite fast. Not quite. I mean, not quite fast enough to suit me, but yeah.
yeah, but that's maybe this is a sign that, you know, we are in trouble, and we need to put our religious differences to the side and move on and become interested in America and what's right for the world. And I'm hoping this will be, you know, some of these right-wing nuts will start looking around and saying, you know, I'm kind of on the wrong side here.
I hope you're right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that had completely escaped me. I'm ashamed of myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known it, but King David heard it, and that's how I found out. But Bob, I just wanted to call in.
Well, Sarge, wait. Tell folks about your show, please. Let them know when, where, how, all of that fine stuff.
All righty. You can stream it off of the Another Radio website, unreportednews.net. Show is sponsored by U-Haul International now. And it comes on at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. That's 8 o'clock here in Phoenix in the mornings. And Bob Kincaid's my guest this Sunday. And we do accept call-ins through your first name and cities. All we ask. We don't even screen the calls. So
I think that's the way to go.
We'd love to hear from people like Susan and Phil and all my pals over at Head On, because sure miss those folks.
Well, Sarge, I'm sure you will. And I'm looking forward to it, and thank you very much.
Thank you, and looking forward to getting that music from you.
I'm trying to pull just the very stuff.
Thank you, Bob. It's nice talking with you.
All right, you take care, Sarge.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our good friend Sarge, formerly of Mississippi, now transplanted to the Phoenix area, and has a show every Sunday morning, as he said, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, at KPHX in Phoenix, carried by Nova M Radio, novamradio.com. And I will be joining him this Sunday morning. Looking forward to it. We're going to talk a little mountaintop removal, among other things. News is next. A little late getting to it, but what the heck? Live a little, huh? Life is short. News is long. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. 5 nuclear cruise missiles were mistakenly mounted under the wings of a B-52 bomber and transported from a North Dakota Air Force base to Louisiana last week. The Air Force says there was never a danger to the American public. German authorities say they stopped a massive bomb attack against American interests in Germany. A tip prompted police to carry out overnight raids that netted 3 Al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorist suspects. They're accused of plotting imminent attacks, possibly on Frankfurt Airport and U.S. installation at Ramstein. President Bush is in Australia meeting with Prime Minister John Howard. The Prime Minister pledged to keep Australian forces in Iraq. The two leaders then signed a treaty granting Australia more access to top-secret U.S. intelligence. The Washington Post reports a chief advisor to Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf says the administration is considering declaring emergency rule as Musharraf's re-election chances diminish. Under emergency rule, elections could be postponed for as long as a year and citizens' rights curtailed. In Nevada, officials are using Google satellite imagery in the search for Steve Fawcett, who disappeared while piloting a single-engine plane on Monday morning. The 63-year-old was looking for a location for his next attempt to break the land speed record. Idaho Senator Larry Craig says he will only resign if his attempt to withdraw his guilty plea fails. The veteran Republican lawmaker has hired a prominent attorney to fight charges after being arrested in a sexting in a public restroom. Fraudulent Democratic fundraiser Norman Hsu is on the run again after failing to show up for his court date today. More than $80,000 in Democratic campaign donations from Hsu will be donated to charity. Staff members of Ohio Representative Republican Paul Gilmore found him dead in his apartment this morning after he failed to show up for work. The 68-year-old Vietnam vet served in public office for more than 4 decades. Officials in Honduras and Nicaragua say they're concerned about the effect of torrential rain brought on by Hurricane Felix. So far, the Category 5 storm caused less damage than expected, but it's being blamed for 4 deaths. A heat wave, now in its 8th day, caused the deaths of 25 people in California. This is QNN.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile, to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The European Society of Cardiology says that exercising may actually generate new blood vessels in bones and muscles. The new vessels can help repair cardiovascular problems. Federal authorities announced they will investigate whether toy giant Mattel responded quickly enough to a previous toy recall. The move comes as Mattel is in the midst of its third recall in a month of Chinese-made toys containing lead paint. Apple today unveiled its much-anticipated new iPod models. The existing devices received facelifts, and the new iPod Touch was released with a touch screen. Apple also lowered the price of their iPhone by $200. Their stock fell 2% as a result. Yahoo will spend $300 million in cash to buy online advertising company Blue Lithium. Yahoo is attempting to challenge Google for a larger share of internet and sales markets. U.S. stocks closed lower today. Experts blame slow sales of existing homes and investors' anticipation of a report of lackluster jobs growth. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.73 a barrel. Gold is at $690.70 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 143 at 13,305. The NASDAQ was down 24, S&P down 17. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Almost 12 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On for Wednesday evening. It is, in fact, prayer meeting night. I don't read lips, Agnes. Yeah, I forgot to do our little sound bite at the top, so maybe we'll do that in the final hour and just sort of get things so all thoroughly and completely bass-ackwards. Let's see. Well, to the phones. I hate to have people waiting. Let's go to Spike calling from Easton, PA. Hey, Spike, welcome to the program.
Mr. Kincaid, how are you?
I'm doing good. Gonzo greetings to you, brother.
Well, interest in past few days, everything that's gone down. It's so easy to forget. It's like as soon as one thing happens, another thing happens, and it's real easy to forget everything in the past week and a half, 2 weeks.
It's like being sucker punched. You know, one fist after the other.
Yeah, it's, more or less. Interestingly enough, as much as it was nice to hear of a alleged stepping down from the swine over at the Justice Department, Alberto Gonzalez, who, by the way, you will never hear me refer to him as Gonzo because...
No, you know, you broke me of that. I got to tell you, you're the one that broke me of that. He's Fredo.
Yeah, yeah. I cringe every time people use the word Gonzo in him because it's hijacking something of a much better notion and importance in the history of our society. Kind of almost... in the same fashion how the Nazis took the swastika and turned it into utter evil.
Yeah.
Even though if you look back in time, you can see Native Americans, and I believe Jack somewhere there's a picture of Jackie Onassis wearing a vest made by actual Native Americans with a swastika on.
Oh, my God.
She was like 8 years old or something like that. That held a much different meaning at one time.
Oh, sure. The symbol, it arose in Native American culture, and it also arose, I believe, in Indian, as in Indian subcontinent, Hindu Vedic culture or whatever.
Several cultures. It meant peace, you know. And
peace, good luck, yeah, right.
Yeah, and they hijacked it, kind of almost how the GOP hijacked Old Glory.
Interesting observation. Yeah, exactly.
Previously the beholders of the right of the Confederate bar flag, somehow post 9/11 they all got a made in Red Communist China Old Glory.
Yeah.
What's more patriotic than a flag made in a communist nation?
Yeehaw.
So it was nice to see him go. Obviously, the next person is just going to be more evil. It's kind of like...
The speculation is just the idea of Joe Lieberman as Attorney General. Orrin Hatch
has been floated out there too.
But you know the really ickiest one that I've heard bandied about out there, Spike.
Who's that?
Santorum.
He is unemployed. Thanks to. So everyone could turn around and blame everyone in Pennsylvania. Actually, maybe Eric Altman needs a new axe to grind against people. So instead of carrying on about Nader all the time, he can carry on how the people of Pennsylvania, by voting Bob Casey in, gave us Rick Santorum as the head of the Justice Department. I think that would.
Well, but you know, what's actually scarier is the Lieberman scenario, Spike. Because if Lieberman was to be made Attorney General, then that would free the governor of Connecticut, who is a Republican, unless I'm mistaken, to appoint a Republican. Or someone who would call themselves an independent who would then caucus with the Republicans.
Yeah, a libertarian.
At which point the balance of power in the Senate would be, that apple cart would be dumped in the road.
Yeah, Connecticut is a very libertarian state. You know, and generally when you find a state that has an excessive amount of SUVs and Volvo cross countries, you're going to find a lot of Republican-minded individuals, people working Wall Street, people who never got their hands and fingernails dirty kind of types, and they tend to vote for bastards like Lieberman, and God only knows what would replace him. I mean, the state of affairs in that state, and by the way, also Connecticut, the state the Bush clan has come from.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Just so everyone remembers, you know, Jeb and George, I believe both of their birth certificates were stamped in the state of Connecticut. And for that matter, our Nazi banking partner, Prescott Bush, was a senator for that state.
That's true.
Time.
That's all very
true. The neocons kind of almost have a stronghold up there in Connecticut, considering how much libertarian influence is in the neocon movement. Connecticut would be... Connecticut, Orange County, California, that's kind of their two prime markets there.
Yeah, they've actually got an airline that flies between the two, I think. Aircon or...
Preventive flights.
Yeah, Aircon, Conair.
But a few other interesting items that have occurred over since the last time I called, I think a new planet was found. But
and oddly enough, that's me on it, waving to everybody. Yeah.
Well, I'm on its third moon with the rings. But interestingly enough, now don't get me wrong, I love Kucinich. I think he was the best candidate in 2004, and I think he is still once again one of the most outspoken and greatest guys that are trying to run for president right now. But, I got to admit, of all the big names, the only big name I would actually hold my breath on actually doing something for people has been Edwards.
I share your sentiment.
And
this is the caveat that always, barring Al Gore entering the race, yeah.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I think the worst thing that could happen to the Democrats is Al Gore entering the race. To be honest with you... easy to forget what was wrong with Al Gore at one time. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, yeah, I think what he's doing now is better than what he could do in the Beltway. You know, an inconvenient truth. Essentially, let him play more of a, dare I say, the Michael Moore role. Let him do the more celeb kind of gig.
I think there's a lot of people though, Spike, who see Al Gore as having recognized the mistakes that he made in his first campaign, and having had
a prayer meeting Wednesday kind of
road to Damascus moment.
He has seen what he has done wrong, and he has found the Lord, and he has turned around.
Yeah, exactly. And there's some argument for that. There's a new article. In fact, I just started reading it. I didn't get a chance to finish it yet. It's linked over at BartCop in Vanity Fair. That's an analysis of what the media did to Al Gore in the 2000 election.
There's other issues. He also, interest in campaign contributions in 2000. So there's still certain things he's never had to really answer for. I mean, essentially, anyone who runs against George Bush really has gotten a free pass on how bad they might be, because it's always been argued, well, they're not Bush. I think in retrospect, unfortunately, what time will discover was, as ridiculously bad as Bush was, the Democratic choices the two times against him were a joke as well. Essentially, I mean, don't get me started with Kerry, but I mean, how in the world could he lose to this guy after guy actually?
You know, but you asked that question. I've got a two word answer for you. Bob Shrum. Bob Shrum ran Kerry's campaign. He ran Gore's campaign. The guy is a professional loser.
Terry McAuliffe, too?
Bob Shrum was the campaign manager for Kerry. It was Bob Shrum who came up with the idea of let's don't say anything negative about George during their convention, because we want to be nice to them.
This is politics, man. You got it's like an NHL playoff game when you're running for president. You got to knock some teeth out. You throw some blood.
Yeah, you don't get over on the boards and just call timeout for tea.
Yeah, no.
No, maybe it's all about.
I just out of nowhere pulled a hockey analogy and actually.
No, it's all in the hip check. Trust me, I understand.
You got to play Broad Street Bullies if you want to win. If you're going to bring your A game,
and see,
you
that's
bring everything about.
And
you.
See, that's
you
one
bring the fancy stick move.
And you know what a Bart Cop fan I am. You know, that's the place where Bart and I go in different directions, because you know he's so profoundly in Hillary's corner. And you know, his argument is that you know she, by virtue of having worked with Bill's campaign, that they know how to fight back, and that they do. They you know they don't bring knives to gunfights, I guess is the best way to say.
Well, the biggest thing about Hillary is that's who the far right wants to win. They've been hoping for this since 1994.
Two.
When Newt Gingrich took, they've been wanting her for so long. They've been building, it's like decades worth of material. And by the way, before I forget, I recently saw a DVD made by Goldwater's granddaughter about Goldwater, and a ton of footage was Hillary Clinton going on and on how much she loved Goldwater, and she was a Goldwater girl as a teenager. Who in their right mind would nominate for Democratic candidate for president someone who is a Goldwater girl dressed up like a cowgirl for Barry Goldwater? Not that LBJ was a great president, but Barry Goldwater inspired people like Patrick J. Buchanan.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So let's not, you know, she's got a lot of roots from Scranton, Pennsylvania, as does Joe Biden. Trust me, you don't really want to touch too much out of Scranton. Obviously, we did kind of back one to beat Santorum, but Scranton, Pennsylvania, not exactly the most progressive.
One of my favorite movie lines in the world comes from the 1978 film The In-Laws, and Alan Arkin looking out the airplane, flying along with secret CIA agent the Vince Ricardo, played by Peter Falk. He looks out the airplane, sees the ocean below, and he screams, "It's over the ocean to Scranton, Pennsylvania!"
Well, actually, one of the best movie comedy lines I recall with Scranton, Pennsylvania came from the movie Kingpin, the bowling movie.
Yeah.
And early on, Woody Harrelson's character, Skid Row, his life couldn't get any worse, you know, living with the hook hand in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And he asked his one neighbor in Scranton, "How's life?" And the guy says, "Taken forever." And that more or less sums up life in northeastern Pennsylvania. I mean, I grew up in the Poconos, but I grew up in the Scranton media market, so I got to experience Scranton. From many and many, and yeah, that you're not gonna find. Don't get me wrong.
Taken forever. I love that.
Yeah, taken forever. Everyone's miserable up there. Not the most positive place in the world to draw energy and ideas from at times. Bars have to close at 8 or 9 St. Patrick's Day because they have riots on the sidewalks of Scranton on St. Patrick's Day.
Makes me want to do St. Patty's in Scranton, Spike.
Well, it was a Saturday one that caused that reactionary law, and it's a shame when it's on a weekday because then no one enjoys St. Patrick's Day up there. And oddly enough, the video footage I saw of it involved a lot of people in Budweiser number 8 jackets, no green at all. You know, but I guess they wanted the blood to match the jackets. I have no idea.
Jesus God.
But, reduce the stain.
Oh, I love our phone call, Spike.
But I gotta admit, though, I think if people... essentially, if Kucinich isn't going to make it, then as many progressives as possible should back Edwards because they really want Clinton, the right wing. And if you give them Clinton, it's just like when they got who they wanted in 2004. They wanted John Kerry.
Yeah, that's why they worked so hard to drive Howard Dean out of the race. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they didn't want a piece of him. I mean, and not to mention, too, Howard Dean also proves when you keep seeing who's in the lead during the polls, when it comes push comes to shove, it's never the guy who led in the polls the whole time. And that's at least the upside.
But no, I agree with you about Edwards. And, of course, John Edwards picked up the steelworkers endorsement this week, and he also picked up the UMWA.
Right.
And so, you know, that puts a little bit of weight behind his candidacy. And frankly, he's talking about the issues in a way that I can, at least domestically, in a way that I can identify with. I'm solidly in Kucinich's corner, but Edwards is definitely my fallback guy.
Yeah, I certainly he does a lot of great talk for organized labor. Maybe his health care plan isn't as good as Dennis Kucinich's plan. However, it's a much better step than anyone else's idea.
Well, and something else that should be brought to bear in this conversation, Spike. I did not read the thing all the way through. I admit, guilty. But I saw something about Barack Obama, and the headline said, "Talking tough on Iran," and I'm nuts. You know, I started this whole thing on Iran, and I'm so over talking tough on Iran or being tough on Iran. You know, the day that Iran openly menaces the United States, all bets are off.
Well, I didn't hear too much about this Iran thing till you tonight. Otherwise, the most I heard of it was on the news on Howard Stern. Him allegedly making a claim he knows statistics, and statistically we're not going to attack Iran, so he's not nervous. But yeah, you know, if you get on these rants about Iran, maybe you should play that horrific John McCain Beach Boys.
Oh, brother, yeah. Now I've got a different John McCain moment for tonight, though, Spike.
You mean the little punk?
Yeah, you little jerk. Yeah.
Oh, you little jerk. I knew it was some sort of Dirty Harry type bonehead move. Yeah. Perhaps no one more fun watching him implode.
Yeah, I'm surprised that nobody's just come out there and hung the moniker on John McCain, Insane McCain.
You know,
because he's nuts. He's the Manchurian candidate. I mean, if he got into the White House, somebody somewhere would click a button and he'd see Angela Lansbury wearing a, you know, the Queen of Hearts card costume, you know, and it's over.
Well, he looks sane as long as there's a Mormon in the race with him. See, that's the thing, you know, because people think Mormons are even crazier. So, not to take a cheap shot, but...
You know, but no, but you mentioned Goldwater earlier. And if you recall, you and I, we're both too young for this, but Goldwater's the campaign slogan was, "In your heart, you know he's right," and the LBJ people filtered, you know, they fought back with the unofficial, "But in your gut, you know he's nuts." And the thing is, you can take it one step further with McCain, and, you know, in your brain, you know he's insane.
Insane in the membrane. You can play the Cypress Hill song for him right there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
He's loco. But, I'm still waiting to see anyone reasonable on that side of the aisle come forward.
Well, and Fred Thompson ain't him, even if he does yuck it up with Jay Leno. What the hell's wrong with Jay Leno? There's the next question, Dave.
Well, he's a right-wing fanatic other than Kerry, because Kerry was from Boston. Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh, you do that very well. You may have a job here. The next
time. I'm not even imitating Leno. I'm imitating someone imitating Leno.
I know, but it works. It works, Spike. Hey, Spike, I got to roll on. I got a bunch of people lined up, but it's so good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah, not a problem at all, man. And it's good to hear you out there again, you know. But
2 days, and I feel like I've been gone a month.
Have a good one.
All right, see you, Spike. Our good buddy Spike from Easton, PA. And our good buddy the Cossack is online. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
In there. Hanging.
Yeah. Picking them up, putting them down.
Yep. Unfortunately, I fear that we are actually going to be bombing Iran in the very near future.
Any suspicions beyond the usual suspects?
Well, they've been, the practice down here has been outrageous. I mean,
yeah, you're around Pensacola, right?
No, Panama City. They got a naval and an air base.
Oh, I know. That's what I mean. There's a naval air station not too far from where you are, and a rather large one at that.
Right. And, there's three major Air Force bases. Largest one in the States, Eglin, is not too far from here. And then there's crap.
You're not that too far a shot south from Dobbins in Atlanta or Marietta.
No.
So you're seeing a lot of activity in the sky.
Yeah, and unfortunately, of late it has died down, which means the units have shipped out.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
And,
One story I read said 10,000 targets. Another story I read, the one out of the New Yorker, says what, 1,200 targets?
There's, for the first 3 days, they have 1,280 targets. Individual targets. This isn't going to be, mosquito bites.
And it's aimed at everything, isn't it? I mean, is it?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, and when we command and control, individual military units, radar installations, the nuclear plant at Natanz or Bushehr or whatever,
right.
The centrifuges, and all these things.
Power grid, sanitation, waterworks.
In other words, a war crime.
Correct. Correct.
Because when you go after civilian infrastructure, that is defined, is it not, by the charter that we signed on to, as a war crime.
Correct. They're going to use the same tactics they did in Yugoslavia. Trains, anything that moves, anything that flies on anything that moves. To quote Dr. Henry.
Yeah. And it kind of makes you sick at your stomach, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is there any stopping it?
Maybe, but I have my doubts at this point.
Well, if you'll give me a maybe's better than anything I got right now. If there's a maybe, Cossack, what's the maybe?
If the military brass revolts, but...
I'll tell you what, do me a favor. Okay. Go over to BartCop.com, yesterday's issue... and I think the link that he's got it under is we will attack Iran or some such as that.
Uh-huh.
Read the letter that he got from someone communicating with someone on an aircraft carrier. It's kind of like two levels of hearsay, but still.
Right.
One of the comments that's made therein is that every time a senior officer has questioned the necessity of attacking Iran, they disappear.
Exactly. I mean, that's why I'm saying, what's his name, Ray McGovern, who I think very highly of, is saying, no, we're not going to attack Iran because the top brass is going to rebel. And I don't think so, because all of those that would have are no longer there. They've all been purged.
Did the top brass rebel in Vietnam?
No, not really.
No. The top brass doesn't rebel. I mean, no offense. I'm not trying to just. I'm not certainly not getting in your face or anything. But
no.
the top brass has very, very tasty retirement packages. And they get to retire at a fairly young age. Then they get a job in the defense industry. They double dip. They make a fortune. They get the nice house with the pool.
Oh yeah. Well, what is it? A brigadier general retires at 300 some odd thousand per year.
Nice work if you can get it.
Oh yeah. And when I was working up in D.C., at one point I was working on the Royal Saudi Naval Project.
Oh, for pity's sakes.
Oh, that's not a joke. I mean, for real. And I recall quite vividly we were bidding one of our team a fond farewell because he was retiring as the Air Force general. And we had a nice little party for him on Friday. Next Monday, here he is as a contractor in a nice new suit. Working with the same people. He didn't even clean out his office.
Jeez, like I said, nice work if you can get it, huh?
Exactly. And he was being paid about as much as he was getting in retirement. So he was getting close to...
That's why they call it double dipping.
Oh, yeah. He's getting close to 750 big ones.
And see, that's the nice thing, you know, because if it turns out that you're right in your misgivings and you retire, you can get, you know, you can get out a rifle shot and you can turn around and say, I told you, you people were wrong. Is the check in? Yeah, cool. Cash this. And that's what our brass has been doing. And
exactly.
I'm glad that they retire and then they feel like they can speak the truth. But somewhere there's a moral line that gets crossed, isn't there? I mean, isn't the very nature of all the rulings out of Nuremberg, Cossack, that there is a line which you in the military may not cross?
Exactly.
Either in good conscience or in good character?
Exactly. Well, we were the ones that formulated this idea of orders are orders is not sufficient. That's not good enough reason. And we hung generals.
We imposed that on the losers.
Yeah. But I mean that's also part of our of the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Yeah, that's the indoctrination that you get between getting home from the 7 mile hike and chow.
Right, and the thing is, we did that. Right.
Yeah.
But it was just the low men on the totem pole. None of the generals, none of the colonels, none of the lieutenant colonels are sitting in a cage right now, are they? But they're the ones that issued the damned orders.
But see, the thing is, we crafted that rule, Cossack, and said, and that was a rule that we crafted for someone else. And the whole time that we thought, you know, we're above that. We'd never do that. We're not like that. We don't have to worry about this ever applying to us. Guess what?
Exactly.
It does. And we have tap danced on it.
That's the whole reason why we refused to join the International Criminal Court, which we were the ones who were basically responsible for founding in the first place.
Yeah.
But as soon as somebody said, oh, that's going to apply to you too, suddenly we go, oh, wait a minute, no. It can apply to anyone else, but it can't apply to us.
Precisely. And we'd never do that.
You know,
if we... Well, you know, it's kind of like Richard Nixon talking to David Frost. If the president does it, it can't be illegal.
Correct. And to add insult to injury, the U.S. delegation has been trying to bully the Russians over Kosovo.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians have put their foot down and said, listen, if you do this, we are going to go to the European Union and we're going to press for the independence of Scotland, for the independence of Northern Ireland, for the independence of Corsica.
Of course, I'm all for the independence of Scotland, but I'm a...
Oh, I agree.
I'm a hard ass that way.
But, you know, when they every time the Russians say that, you know, we always say, but that's a different issue.
Oh, I know. It's like moving into their backyard and urging the independence of Chechnya.
Yeah.
Who probably deserves to be independent, but you know, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying completely.
Well, considering that we're funding the Chechen rebels, and that the UK is giving political sanctuary to the Chechen jackass that was responsible for killing those children in the school, and they refuse to extradite him to Russia for trial, just like they're refusing to extradite Berezovsky, one of the robber barons who made his swag and ran off, and yet the English are going apoplectic that the Russians refused to extradite Lukovoy to them.
Was he the polonium guy?
That's what they're charging.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of doubt behind that.
Well, it seems, you know, if you're the polonium guy, what you're doing still breathing is amazing to me, because you don't just, you know, go next door and borrow a teaspoon of polonium.
Exactly. And the Russians aren't that stupid either, you know.
No, not by any...
traceable.
No. In fact, you remind me of something. From time to time I mention our good friend Eugene Finnerman's website, finnermanworks.com. His edition of your RDA of irony today has to do with the rise of Peter the Great.
Uh-huh.
And Eugene's a genius. He's a Eugenius.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best satire writers that I've ever run across. And today he focuses on Peter the Great.
Oh, and you did hear that Richard Jewell died, right?
Yeah, I caught that. And you know, I didn't say much about that, but it, you know, how very sad it was. You know,
we killed him. The government killed him.
The worst part of it is the thinking behind charging him. Here's a guy who sees a suspicious package. He's a rent-a-cop, okay? He's not even a real cop. He doesn't have to do this. But he sees a suspicious package in Olympic Park in Atlanta, and he starts telling people, you know, mommies, daddies, little children, get your children away. Get away. This thing's creepy. Get away, get away, get away, get away. And then because he does this, the FBI targets him as the suspect.
Exactly.
And targets him as the suspect. This is the part that drives me nuts. On the theory that he did this in order to get himself famous.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of potential motives out there, Cossack. There's, you know, I did it for money. I did it so that my girlfriend would think I was a stud. I did it because my mommy hated me and my daddy beat me. I mean, there's motives out there. I did it to get fame. I did it to get famous because I saved these people's lives. That one doesn't wash with me.
No.
And they hounded him, and they searched his house, and then they came roaring out, and they said, "Oh, look, he had copies of Hustler," and you know the porn. They hounded the man. I don't know that they killed him. I mean, he was a pretty big guy.
Right, but I mean, he died of heart failure.
Yeah.
And the kind of stress that something like this would put on you, especially when you have all the media yelling and screaming, He's the one.
Yeah, CNN, among others, settled with him, I think, if I recall correctly.
Right. But, you know, it's kind of the same thing they did to that poor bastard from Fort Meade with the anthrax. He was a man of interest, and they were following him around constantly. The FBI was constantly stationed outside of his apartment.
I had a little less sympathy for him, Cossack. He was a little bit of a right-winger.
Well, he's a right winger. I mean, granted. I mean, I don't necessarily.
And I don't know to this day whether or not he was innocent, or even not guilty, which is a wildly different standard.
Right, but it looks a lot less like it was his fault than several other people.
Well, that was an investigation that was never meant to reach a conclusion or to come up with a suspect.
Correct.
Because it was a right wing murder.
Mm hmm.
A series of attacks. We know where it came from. It came from Fort Meade. It was weaponized there. That, you know, it basically had fingerprints all over it. And
they didn't want to charge a guy. They didn't want to bust a guy because it would have, in the midst of the in the midst of the 9/11 business, it would have shown what a great terror threat we have on the inside of the United States, coming from, you know, not from wild-eyed liberals or Arabs or anybody been whatever, but from good old garden variety right-wing fascist Republican voters.
Right. Well, if you go back to Oklahoma City, again, the guy that we offed for the crime probably wasn't guilty of it. I mean, he may have been guilty of setting off a device, granted, but that's not what toppled the building. And who was he hanging out with who they never bothered to investigate? The Aryan Brotherhood.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, we're not gonna look into these guys.
No, I don't think Timothy McVeigh had clean hands by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no.
But you don't want to follow it to its logical conclusion, because then you will find out again what a terrifying underbelly America has. And again, it's not a bunch of wild-eyed liberals singing kumbaya.
Well, it's like, you know, we always have our predetermined villains, if you will. I remember right after the explosion, they were looking for an Arab.
Yes,
if you recall.
Yes, they were.
And after the 93 bombing in New York of the towers, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Within the first 24 hours, who were they looking for? Some disgruntled Serbs. Because Radovan Karadzic said, well, when you go interfering in other people's business, this kind of thing is going to happen to you.
Yeah, it would have been better that he had not said that.
But it's true.
Sure it is. Sure it is. And you know, the one little iota of credit that I give to Ron Paul, mostly I wouldn't pour pee on him if he was on fire, but the one little iota of credit I give to Ron Paul is in that Republican debate when he said, you know, when you go meddling around in Middle Eastern affairs, you're going to expect this kind of stuff as blowback.
Exactly. And everybody went ballistic.
Yeah, I screamed for him to apologize, and, you know, he didn't apologize.
Oh, yeah.
He had nothing to apologize for.
No. He was saying exactly what the CIA has been saying for a long time.
Yeah, one of the few things the CIA's gotten right.
Well, they've gotten a lot of things right. It's just that they're not listened to when they are right, and when they're
yeah, and when they're wrong,
they magnify it.
Exactly. Hey, Cossack, I got to roll along. Good talking to you, my friend.
My pleasure, sir.
You have a great evening.
You too.
All right, keep an eye. Let
kiss for me.
All right, I will, and let us know what the air traffic's like over there once in a while.
Will do.
All right, bye now.
All right, take care.
A quick follow-up on the conversation I had with William out in California. He wrote in to share a little bit of a follow-up. And what he said, and I appreciate this, he said, in reference to the conversation I had with our good friend Phil, he said, I understand Phil's passion. However, I've tried to get the word out to people here on many issues, and once you get out a bit of truth, which seems like complete fiction to them, they bring out the cross and hiss at me. What an image. Yeah, I know. They don't want to hear this stuff. They want to go on blindly or ignorant. To them, this is all science fiction stuff. We didn't see 9/11 coming, and even though we have our convictions almost set on Iran based on all the talk, the trouble is we still won't know about it until it's done. This insane administration is not going to warn anyone. I'm all for calling representatives, but since they're not listening, we may as well be yelling into the ether. They knew we voted to stop Iraq, to end this occupation, so no one can tell me that they don't know precisely what's going on with Iran. And there's a hell of a lot of truth in that. Now, the follow-up to this, of course, is our good friend Phil in Daytona Beach did send in the name of the bipartisan resolution. It is H.R. 2605. Write this down, H.R. 2605. So you got two things. You can call your you can contact your representatives, tell them that you want them to sign on to
HCON 33 and HR 2605. And the HR 2605 is the sunset of Public Law 107-243 Act of 2007 to establish a sunset for the authorization for use of military force against Iraq resolution of 2002. And it has 21 co-sponsors right now. HR 2605 sunsets the Iraq War resolution of 2002. And then HCON 33 does something similar. No shooting at Iran without congressional approval. So, you know, have a run at it. It would be worth your time. It's just a phone call. At least then you are attempting to do something. Because I don't... Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe there's something wrong with us. That we sit around and we think about things like bombing civilians and civilian infrastructure and murdering babies from 40,000 feet and we feel like we are somehow responsible for it. Maybe we're supposed to just turn on the TV and forget about it. Maybe I should spend 10 or 15 minutes on this program, and I could, by God, I could, talking, because I haven't been here since the weekend, talking about the little miracle that took place in Ann Arbor, Michigan this past Saturday, when the Appalachian State Mountaineers, not my beloved Mountaineers, but the Appalachian State Mountaineers, went into the Big House, as they call it, and in front of 100,000 screaming University of Michigan fans, handed the University of Michigan, the vaunted University of Michigan, the almighty University of Michigan, the maize and blue, number 5 in the country, handed them their ass. Why do I mention it? Because there is an analogy there for us. Michigan was riding on its reputation alone. Michigan had returning seniors who could have gone pro last year and been millionaires by now. Mike Hart, Chad Henney, a couple of others. And all season long in their off-season interviews, they said things like, well, you know, we've set a lot of expectations for ourselves, and we can't wait to get Ohio State. We've never beat Ohio State. We're going to beat Ohio State this year. And in the process of worrying about beating Ohio State, they didn't worry about beating little bitty, lowly, little bit of nothing Appalachian State from Boone, North Carolina. And see, it wasn't a fluke. Appalachian State went in there, starting with the opening kickoff in the first quarter all the way to the close of the fourth. Appalachian State beat Michigan's ass red. Up and down the field. Got hold of them, didn't let go. Made Michigan look like chumps. Why am I mentioning this? I'll tell you why I'm mentioning this. Because in the grand scheme of world politic, Appalachian State is Iraq. Appalachian State is Iran. And there is the potential for us to screw up and attack Iran and have horrible, horrible things happen to us. What was it Cossack said? 1,200 targets? More than 1,200 targets. What if they miss one? What if they miss one Exocet missile site? What if they miss one of those sites where they've got those weird-ass torpedoes that go at supersonic speeds underwater and can send one of our nuclear carriers to the bottom of the Persian Gulf like that? What if they miss one? Well, of course, if Iran retaliates and, you know, shoots at one of our vessels because planes from our vessels are attacking their country, well, then it's Iran's fault, isn't it? And then, baby, it's really on. God. I mentioned... Oh, God. Remind me to come back to this. There's an alternate article by Chris Hedges, who's one of the best war correspondents there is out there. I'm sorry. I can't see line number one blinking from over here. And so I forgot that David... David, I apologize, my friend. I am so sorry. I did not mean
well,
to...
Well, I'm awake now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get the digs in. I earned them. I earned them.
No. I knew it was something. That's all right. I mean, like I said, I've waited on shows before, you know, like 2 hours once. I called late at night one time in the show, and it was like, these people are never picking up. I'm hanging up right now, and I did. It was some late night show from L.A. called John and Jeff.
John and Jeff, hey, they're a wacky pair, those two.
Yeah, I mean, they really get mad at people who don't do the decisions that they do. If you marry over twice, you're a loser. That kind of thing.
Oh, God, please don't make me ever have to do that kind of radio, please.
I know. It's scary. I mean, but that's what L.A. does to you. You know, when you talk about Iran...
I have nightmares about having to do a show where I have to really talk about Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan, okay? I mean, I do.
I hope that Paris Hilton talks about Tehran one of these days. I really do. I just want to hear what she has to say about it. It would be interesting to see, like, her mannerisms and how she responds to it. Like, you know, Tehran, they really shouldn't do that. I think we got to do the right thing for the people and the democracy. I can see her saying that. Just not now. maybe 5 years from now or something. I'd be like, oh, Paris, we already attacked Iran.
Yeah.
I want to bring your attention to a powerful, when I say powerful commentary, people, you got to listen to it. 58 minutes, Justin Raimondo at antiwar.com. Bob, it's going to knock you out. Impressive.
Justin Raimondo, antiwar.com.
Yep, he put up all the YouTube links so you can just watch one after the other right on the same page so you don't have to do that annoying crap where you have to look for the link and then say, where's part two? I don't see part
that
two.
That drives me bad stuff.
But see, that's what YouTube does. That's part. Now, people, I know if you like YouTube and you like people who segment these parts, they're doing this to herd you, to keep you on that site longer.
Sure.
They want to segment everything, and it is kind of a cruel in a way, but they take the traffic any way they can get. They'll take the view time any way they can get, and that's how they do it.
And, you know, every time you change a screen, they get to change an ad, and they get to charge a new page view, right?
And yeah, exactly. And speaking of... shifty things, I know you probably talked about this the five nuclear weapons on it.
Yeah, I opened the show with it, yeah.
Well, you know what? I think I'm
six, by the way, six.
What's that?
Six, not five, six.
Oh, six? I'm going to say something that probably I haven't heard any discussion on. I believe it was a test. How can you have one? I can understand one. Okay, one's an accident. Oh, I'm sorry. You have six on the plane on the outside? Are you kidding me?
I know.
I think it was a test. You know what it was a test for, Bob? It was like one of a few other things. It was one, maybe they thought, okay, we can sneak these weapons, and the shadowy part of our defense system said maybe we can plant these weapons somewhere.
Well, it gets better, though. You know, the story, David, is that they were being transferred from Minot, North Dakota, to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, right?
Right.
And they were being transferred to Barksdale to be decommissioned, okay? I mean, that's the story, and they're sticking to it.
Mm.
Well, I'm looking at an email here from someone who has talked to a B-52 pilot buddy of his.
Mm.
And he says, Barksdale Air Force Base is being used as a jumping-off point for Middle East operations. And he asked the question, gee, why would we want cruise missile nukes at Barksdale Air Force Base? Can't imagine we'd need to use them in Iraq. Why would we want to prep pre-position nuclear weapons at a base conducting Middle East operations? Hmm.
6 degrees to the wire, the big drug dealer kingpin in the wire's named Barksdale. But anyway.
But no, I did kind of ask that question because, you know, if that plane had gone down and one of those things had gone off, would we have said, you know, oopsie, we nuked ourselves? Hell no!
And the other thing is the Occam's razor. The simplest answer was maybe they just did it to do a test run to see how people would respond, leak the information, and be like, oh, man! 6-kiloton warheads were on our plane. We're so what do you think about that?
David, these are nuclear warheads. I mean, they're not just laying around at Minot, I don't think.
I know, but that's you forget, we're in the neoconservative.
I mean, you've got to use the little key, you got to talk to the guy with the gun unlocks the door, you go in, you roll out, you sign another board, you show another piece of ID, they put the thing, and it rolls out, and you talk, and it's a nuke on a cruise missile, for the love of Christ, it's got to be signed off on the whole way.
I know, that's what I'm saying, it was six!
And it happened 6 times!
That's right, so who was it? That's another thing. If we're going to have an investigation, if we're going to talk about this, I don't want to talk around in circles like the 9/11 thing. You know, like, oh, the pod on the plane. That's what it's like, the warheads on the plane. Okay, all right, who signed off on it? Tell me who signed off on it. If we're not going to have this discussion, then you don't want me to know.
Well, they've relieved some general of his command.
See, that right there tells me, did the general put the warhead on the plane? I want to know the mechanic who did it.
Well, they say they've decertified the weapons crew that hooked the stuff to the plane. But still, so, I mean, am I to understand that our nuclear arsenal has come to the point where it's one weapons crew led by one, you know, tech sergeant or whatever, and that he can go all the way into the nuclear arsenal, wheel out 6 cruise missiles with warheads attached, hook them to a B-52, and wave bye-bye to the pilot? This is the command infrastructure of the United States Air Force.
I swear to God, I think we don't have people in the Defense Department competent. I think they just hired some Spinal Tap roadies. I think we got to get this missile. Is it radioactive? I don't think so, man.
No, the warhead's off of that. That's just like that's the fake,
yep,
warhead.
This one, man, this one isn't that. This one doesn't look powerful.
Cheech, oh my God! No. We're not. This isn't Spinal Tap. This is Cheech and Chong join the Air Force.
Oh yeah, Cheech and Chong join the Air Force. That too. Well, you know what? Not to take a dig, but we are getting Mexican labor now. So maybe they outsource this to Mexico.
Oh, I'm getting an update from the chat room, David.
Oh.
Update 5:33 p.m. The Associated Press now has comment from the Pentagon and writes that the incident was so serious that President Bush and Defense Secretary Robert Gates were quickly informed, and Gates had to ask for George Bush to put down his Game Boy. No, I'm sorry. And Gates has asked for daily briefings on the Air Force probe. DOD Press Secretary Jeff Morrell said, however, quote, at no time was the public in danger.
But you know what, Bob? A lot of things happen. We get this media amnesia, as I call it, and media amnesia, or whatever you want to call it. If you think about it, this happened a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're saying that.
Well, and Senator Larry Craig was busted in a men's room in June.
Think about it. If you wanted a test run to see what people's reaction to be able to gauge on nuclear weapons, what would you do? If you were an evil bastard, you'd put nuclear weapons on a plane. Sorry, we're sorry, we didn't mean that.
Yeah, oopsie. Our bad. Do over.
And really, what was the reaction mostly I'm getting from? I can't really gauge a public's response. I don't know what it is, but the outrage that. The theatrical outrage from the news organizations, but I really don't know how American people feel about nuclear warheads, and I'm kind of afraid to ask about it.
Well, look, I mean, let's try to. I'm trying to think of this in fairly rational terms, David.
You can't.
I know, but you know these warheads on these cruise missiles, they don't just lay around hot.
That's what I'm.
They have to. There's an arming sequence of some sort. You know, at least there used to be. So you've got, you know, before you could make them be nuclear weapons, they would have to be armed through the arming sequence, if I understand correctly. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll probably get an email from a rocket scientist sometime between today and tomorrow. But no. But no, I'm kidding. But the fact of the matter is, even if these things. If the plane crashed with these things and they weren't hot and they didn't do what nuclear weapons do, guess they're still dirty bombs. Okay?
No.
So they shatter and that radioactive material scatters all over God's green earth and you've got a dirty bomb situation. Now, that plane goes down. You've got radiation scattered from here to yonder. Again, I ask the same question, David. Does the administration come out and say, you know, we screwed up? Or do they come out and say, obviously, a terrorist attached to Al-Qaeda has detonated a dirty bomb in the middle of a cornfield in Kansas?
There's so many ways you could play this story. Maybe someone was about to leak it and the administration caught on, and they had to rush and scramble a story and cover their ass. Or, this, like we said, it could be a test run. And, you know, the one thing that I keep thinking about is, like, who signed off on that UPS digital signature? That's how that's when we'll know. Who signed for the nuclear warheads?
Because there ought to be a string of signatures about as long as your arm, David.
That's what I mean. That's
it's a nuclear weapon.
They probably ordered it from UPS, like I say. UPS, FedEx.
What can Brown do for you?
What can Brown do for you? Obviously a lot.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Before I go, I wanted to mention one other thing. I wanted to know what movies you checked out this weekend.
Sadly, none.
None?
No, none.
Wow, your schedule was full.
Yeah, it is. I had a little doctor's appointment today, David, and my doctor said that if I don't lay off a little bit,
right,
he's gonna get really, really up in my grill.
Wow. Well, I checked out, let me see what movie I can recommend to people. Oh, I really recommend...
I have been watching some Tom and Jerry cartoons, though, I can tell you.
Oh, that's good. Well, well, hopefully you've been watching them on YouTube.
Yes.
So I'm not going to say anything about that. I watched this movie called This Is England, and it was a drama about the skinhead revival and the St. George's Cross in the 80s, and basically the Falkland War, and it's a really good film, and I recommend people seeing it. I think that people should see it with their kids, because it really demonstrates the wrong turns you can make in terms of race hatred and purists and nationalism, and how you can go back on the right track at the same time. It's called This Is England, and I recommend it to people. It's a really good, you know, I think a lot of people hit on the English cinema for a long time, but English cinema has been kicking ass. For indie cinema has been kicking ass for a while now. You got the Guy Ritchie films. Wait till you see Revolver, Bob. Oh my God! But Revolver, Shaun of the Dead. Have you seen Shaun of the Dead?
That I saw.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then you know. I mean, This Is England. It's the story of the skinheads and one kid named Sean who goes the wrong way, and his dad isn't there. And how he has to go back on the right track, and how you get out of this, and it's a really powerful story. And the kid's a dynamo talent, and really good cast, really good directed, and you know the music's right. It's like 1983, so damn, I mean, that's when music was golden too.
True. Well, you know, I'm going to make a concerted effort to be a little bit better to myself, and I enjoy the hell out of movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I can kick back and maybe watch a little bit, that would be cool.
Well, I got to tell you, for everyone, watch the film Before I Go. This Is England, and try to get your kids or your family members or any impressionable youngsters and let them watch it, because it's important for people to understand. You gotta point something in the right direction to show the wrong turns that someone can go in an organization such as Stormtroopers, the Skinheads, the National Front. You know, it's somebody who was obviously there. I can tell the director was around someone. You can tell just from watching it.
Cool.
And it's not as violent as American History X. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I gotta be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Violent.
It does have a violent moment, but overall, I think it's perfect for the 13 and up crowd.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you, David.
All right, Bob.
You take it easy.
Later.
Good hearing from you. Bye now. Pop culture correspondent David calling from Maine. 8 minutes after the hour, news break, Agnes. All right. Listen, hey, this has been great so far. I'm gone for a couple of days. People want to talk. That's really cool.
You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. You want to save us a nickel, do it on your own. 304-658-5453. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Drop so sharp at the edge of town. Lucy, you know the world must be flat. 'Cause when people leave town, they never come back. They go 90 miles an hour to the city limit sign. Put the pedal to the metal before they change their mind. They howl at the moon, shoot out the light.
This is the Quality News Network. German authorities say they foiled bomb attacks against American installations in Germany. Acting on a tip, police carried out overnight raids Tuesday, arresting three Al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorist suspects. The men had enough material to make a bomb with the explosive power of 1,200 pounds of TNT. Five nuclear cruise missiles were mistakenly mounted under the wings of a B-52 bomber and transported from a North Dakota Air Force base to Louisiana last week. The Air Force says there was never a danger to the American public. The incident is being investigated. The head military man in charge in Iraq, General David Petraeus, has hinted he may recommend troop cuts when he testifies before Congress next week. He says, quote, "There are limits to what our military can provide," end quote. A new report, however, finds Iraqi security forces will not be able to take over in the next 18 months. It also says there is so much corruption in the police force that it should be scrapped. The assessment came from a panel of 20 mostly retired senior military and police officers. President Bush met with Prime Minister John Howard during a visit to Australia. The Prime Minister pledged to keep Australian forces in Iraq. The two leaders then signed a treaty granting Australia more access to top-secret U.S. intelligence. The Washington Post reports a chief advisor to Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf says the administration is considering declaring emergency rule as Musharraf's re-election chances diminish. Under emergency rule, elections could be postponed for as long as a year and citizens' rights curtailed. Former Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega will not be extradited to France on a money laundering conviction. For now, a judge put the move on hold after Noriega's attorneys questioned whether or not France will treat their client as a prisoner of war and abide by the Geneva Conventions. A Senate Ethics Committee has refused to set aside a complaint against Idaho Senator Larry Craig, who pled guilty after he was arrested in a men's room sex sting. Craig says he will only resign if his attempt to withdraw his guilty plea fails. That's reversing a weekend statement saying he would resign. The veteran Republican lawmaker has hired a prominent attorney to fight the charges. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
A California heat wave, now in its eighth day, caused the deaths of 25 people. Temperatures have been around 110 degrees, draining the power grid and causing power outages. The European Society of Cardiology says that exercising may actually generate new blood vessels in bones and muscles. The new vessels can help repair cardiovascular problems. Medical researchers are warning consumers the fumes from butter-flavored microwave popcorn may be dangerous. There are already reports of lung disease from workers in factories that produce the product. Federal authorities announced they will investigate whether toy giant Mattel responded quickly enough to a previous toy recall. The move comes as Mattel is in the midst of its third recall in a month of Chinese-made toys containing lead paint. U.S. stocks closed lower today. Experts blame slow sales of existing homes and investors' anticipation of a report of lackluster jobs growth. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.73 a barrel. Gold is trading at $690.70 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow ended down 143 points at 13,305. The Nasdaq was down 24 at 2605. And the S&P closed down 17 at 1472. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
14 and a half past the hour. I'm Bob. You're wonderful. Just like Agnes. Quick email in from John, writing from Connecticut. He says, just logged on to listen to your show as you were talking about the possibility of Joe Lieberman becoming the next Attorney General. We do indeed have a Republican governor, Jody Rell. She would most likely appoint a Repug to replace him. I don't think things would be much different if this were to happen, since Joe has been dutifully pushing the AIPAC neocon propaganda all along. I grew up here. I don't drive a big honking gas-guzzling SUV. I'm not a libertarian, and I sure as hell didn't vote for Lieberman. Yeah, all right. Good man, good man. Just a little heads up that there actually are some real people that live here in Connecticut. Best regards, JP. You want to check out his webpage? Go to johnperryonline.com. Not your daddy's editorial page. I had a quick peek. It's a fun place. Now, I know there's normal people in Connecticut. I know that there are, because of the number of people who came out and beat Joe Lieberman in the Democratic primary. Joe Lieberman, of course, couldn't be bothered to abide by the wishes of the Democrats in Connecticut, and that's why he had to run on the, what's it called, the Joe Lieberman party ticket. God. Oh, it makes my head hurt. It just makes my head hurt. Thanks for that, John. I appreciate it. The thing that scares me about Lieberman getting to be AG and getting replaced, yeah, it would be a Republican senator. It wouldn't change the tenor that much, but I don't know, and I admit my ignorance. That's one of the things that I think makes this a slightly more charming show than most blatherheads. Especially right-wing blatherheads. I will tell you when I don't know, and what I don't know is what it would do to the Senate rules in terms of who the majority leader would be. Of course, the way that Harry Reid surrenders, again, one wonders if it would really make a difference, but that's for a different show. And I did verify the fact, and yes, it is true. Sarge was right. D. James Kennedy has gone to his long home, his reward. That I am told that little demons in hell are stacking cords of wood underneath the barbecue spit that is passing through places we don't want to talk about on D. James Kennedy's metaphysical body, and that he will now be barbecued for all eternity on a spit right next to Jerry Falwell. Because one of the things you may not realize is that way back when Jerry Falwell formed the moral majority, which was neither moral nor a majority, one of the first people he called to be on the board of directors of that nefarious fascist organization was none other than D. James Kennedy of Coral Snake Ministries. Okay? So, yeah, throw another log on the fire, Satan. Another one of your boys has come to play. What is it our good friend Malloy says? Little demons in hell pinching off their heads and using them for soccer balls. I just love that image. Doing a header with D. James Kennedy's head. Doing a header with Jerry Falwell. Yeah. Then again, there's that scene from Little Nicky. And I don't go in for Adam Sandler movies, but the little scene with the pineapple and Hitler in the French maid's dress. You know, you you can't beat that for a sort of divine eternal justice. I like it. Let's get a pineapple for Falwell and Kennedy while we're at it. And let's go to the phones and talk to our good friend Kevin, calling, I presume, from the D.C. area.
No, actually, I'm in Minnesota doing some more work out here.
I thought we rescued you from there.
Well, hey, they sent me back.
Yeah, what am I talking about? I love Minnesota.
Last week I was up in New England, and I did New Hampshire, Vermont, and Massachusetts.
This is a nice time for that.
Yeah.
So
I was there during the week when the Yanks and Red Sox were playing.
Ooh.
I try not to tell them I was originally from New York.
Probably a good call on your part.
Yeah. But the reason why, let me get to the point. The reason why, you know, what happened with the nuclear warheads happened is because we have incompetent generals. Don't forget, most of our military is headed off by loyal Republicans, or loyal Bushies, as Gonzalez would say.
Right.
Okay, the military has become so politicized now that you cannot go above the rank of major unless you kowtow to the administration in power in some way, shape, or form.
So, and that's what that's a little bit of what I was talking about earlier about the fact that, you know, the brass isn't going to rebel.
Yeah.
Because the brass got to be the brass by licking boots.
Oh, yeah.
It's a sad commentary on the sort of upside-down thing that's happened to the nature of our military promotion system, but I think it's very true because, you know, you go back to... who was it? Eric Shinseki, who just quietly suggested to Donald Rumsfeld it would take 500,000 men to do Iraq and do it right. Yeah. He got canned.
Oh, yeah. And the guy before him, he was...
Shinseki?
Who?
Shinseki?
Yeah, he lost half a foot in Vietnam. I forgot his name. Maybe it was Shinseki. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, again, he was forced to step down, so... Petraeus is a, you know, kiss, you know what.
Yeah. First of all, he's already in a position, Kevin, where he's going to allow the White House to write the thing for him.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he's a figurehead at best.
Yeah.
So I think we've got a pretty good idea of what we can expect. Everybody knows what's going to be in that report.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know that it's going to point fingers at Iran, and it's going to set up the casus belli for the Iran attack if they haven't done it already.
Yeah, well, perpetual warfare—that's what they want to keep us at. You know, it doesn't matter if it ends, as long as we keep on going. 1984 all over again. You know, and too bad, you know, people out here in Minnesota, because there is a little right-wing fascist thing going on right here, like I said before, you know, we're there at the point where it's like, why would our president do that? Why not?
And, you know, that speaks volumes, and it speaks good of the American people that we make certain assumptions, or some of us do, about our elected representatives and the president. That there are some things that are so daggum evil, Kevin, we can't imagine anyone, Democrat or Republican, doing them. And
yeah,
so people do, you know, they give me the funny look and they go, you know, he'd never do that. Yes, he would.
Yeah, but the thing is, this kind of naivete gets people killed and maimed.
Yes, it does.
You know, this is, you know, and it's like, you know, I discussed on the Mike Maloney show how, you know, a lot of these people in mid-America are like hobbits, you know, these ultra-innocent, naive, or Radar O'Reillys. You know, these ultra-innocent, naive people who are put in dangerous situations, and they don't know how to cope. They're, you know, and it's frightening to me. It really is.
And that's the place that I started from this evening, Kevin. I don't know if we're just being manipulated and tormented with this. My gut feeling is that they intend to do this, they want to do this, they've been talking about this, because it's worth remembering that at the same time they were talking about doing Iraq, you know, these PNACers, they said Iraq and Iran in the same breath. It's not like this is a new idea.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got Bush saying that, you know, his goal is to it was part of the Keith Olbermann special comment last night, that his goal is to make staying in Iraq palatable to the next president. And as he put it, he's playing for October and November.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the same thing applies to Iran. And he's got to do it while he can do it. Now, if it was me, I would think you'd want to do it, you know, September, October of 2008, and really turn the apple cart over in the street. But maybe they think that with this kind of a lead time, that it works out in some sort of political calculus for them. I can't fathom it, but then again, I couldn't fathom invading Iraq either.
Well, as I said, you know, with the right media spin, they can do anything they want. You know, what's his name earlier? The 3 o'clock show.
Oh, Guy James?
Yeah, he was playing a bit where they say, you know, how the Bush family can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I was working, but I heard bits and pieces of it. And that's what they feel. You know, it's the same thing with this senator. You know, he's gonna keep his seat. And he'll probably get reelected because, you know...
Oh, do you really think so? Even the GOP kind of told him no mulligan on this one.
I don't know. You know, one thing, I don't know, because I just think there's a clique within the GOP that feels, you know, as long as you're one of our boys, you can do whatever. You can rape Girl Scouts, you know. It's like...
Or Boy Scouts, and that's more to the point here.
Or even Animal Scouts. You know, as long as you're one of our boys, you'll get a pass. You know, so
yeah.
I just think he's gonna get away with it, and you know, he already has his attorney and legal team lined up, and he's gonna get away with it.
Yeah, but what member of the judiciary there in Minnesota is going to allow? I mean, when he pled guilty, he signed a bunch of stuff, okay, and he signed it. And it says, you know, if it's anything like anywhere else in the country, it says I'm doing this of my own free will. I've been informed of the charges against me. I understand what those charges are. You know,
Bob, there will be enough money spread out here where they'll make it within their interest to let him go.
Oh God!
Just like the Lieberman election, where basically the Republican Party financed his election and gave him so much airtime in Connecticut. Don't forget. I'm from New York, so Connecticut is our back door.
Right.
Okay? Where he can just basically form a party of his own within Connecticut.
Sometimes it gets a little depressing, Kevin.
Huh?
Sometimes it gets a little depressing.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like power, what is it? Dante's first rule of power is to stay in power, and they're going to stay in power. They're looking to stay in power. Regardless of who becomes president, this is why you think Hillary and I look like, why do you think Hillary and Barack is getting so much airplay and press from Fox News? It's not because Fox News loves these people; it's because they're picking the Democrat contenders.
Well, Fox News and the rest of the ultra right wing wants more than anything in the world to run against Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to find that they dig up Vince Foster. I mean, that's how bad it's going to be.
Yeah. This is an old Nixon ploy where you pick your opponent. Okay?
Right.
Don't forget, when Nixon ran for re-election, he didn't have an Ice Cube's chance of beating Ed Muskie. What he did was have a faction finance, what was it, McGovern?
And they also... created the so-called Canuck letter.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you got Edmund Muskie sitting on the courthouse steps, standing on the courthouse steps, bawling his eyes out, and that's the end of Edmund Muskie.
Yeah. And this is what they're doing. You know, John Edwards is really the most legitimate candidate, and they know if Edwards ever wins the primary, a lot of heads are going to be rolling. A lot of heads.
And I'm really torn. I want Dennis Kucinich, plain and simple. I want Dennis Kucinich. See, don't do that. No, he's electable if people will vote for him.
Alone. the last name alone has already wrote off his ticket. Trust me.
That's such a, that is such a damning indictment of the American people and the American electorate,
and
Kevin.
I'm sorry, Bob, but that's the God's honest truth. Why do you think Dukakis lost?
Yeah, but he got nominated.
He got nominated, but did he win? You know, come on. You know, Bush probably put money in Dukakis because, you know, he could beat him. You know, you ever seen that Saturday Night Live skit where they talk about the ancestry of all the presidents?
I know what you're talking about.
George Washington from England, Franklin Roosevelt from Holland, Kennedy from Ireland, George Bush from England. But Dukakis? Where is he from? Greece. Vote for Bush. He's whiter. You know?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and that, for real, man.
It is. I know.
Alone.
I know. How long are you in Minnesota?
Probably I'll be out of here tomorrow. I'm heading back down to Florida to see Mrs. Grant.
Okay, good deal. Good deal.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, kiss Agnes for me, and God bless her.
I sure will. You know, that's one of the nicest things. I get to do a lot of Agnes kissing for you guys, and I appreciate it. You take care, Kevin. Travel safely.
Okay.
Bye
now.
It is prayer meeting, of course. And I would be remiss if we didn't do some prayer meeting stuff. And we're gonna, I promise. I want to finish up one thing. This, I found it over at Alternet. It is from Chris Hedges. Iran, the next quagmire. And I want to just lay this out for you because I haven't seen it done in quite so concise a fashion. And these are Chris Hedges' words, not mine. I'm just reading to you. I apologize. He says, the Bushehr nuclear power plant, along with targets in Sagand and Yazd, the uranium enrichment facility in Natanz, a heavy water plant and radioisotope facility in Arak, the Ardakan nuclear fuel unit, and the Uranium Conversion Facility and Nuclear Technology Center in Isfahan will all probably be struck by the United States and perhaps even Israeli warplanes. The Tehran Nuclear Research Center, the Tehran Molybdenum Iodine and Xenon Radioisotope Production Facility. This is why I'm a professional broadcaster. Did you hear how well I did that? Molybdenum. Actually, I owe that one to my father. Taught me how to say molybdenum. He did. The Tehran Jaber Ibn Hayyan Multipurpose Laboratories and the Kalaya Electric Company in the Tehran suburbs will also most likely come under attack. You did catch that. The Kalaya Electric Company in the Tehran suburbs. That is a civilian electrical operation. But then what? Chris Hedges asks. We don't have the troops to invade. And we don't have anyone minding the helm who knows the slightest thing about Persian culture or the Middle East. There's no one in power in Washington with the empathy to get it. We will lurch blindly into a catastrophe of our own creation. It is not hard to imagine. Now, this is the scary part, okay, so dig it. It is not hard to imagine what will happen. Iranian Shahab 3 and Shahab 4 missiles, which cannot reach the United States, will be launched at Israel, as well as American military bases and the Green Zone in Baghdad. Expect massive American casualties, especially in Iraq, where Iranian agents and their Iraqi allies will be able to call in precise coordinates. The Straits of Hormuz, which are the corridor for 20% of the world's oil supply, will be shut down. Chinese-supplied C-801 and C-802 anti-shipping missiles, mines, and coastal artillery will target U.S. shipping, along with Saudi oil production and oil export centers. Oil prices will skyrocket to well over $4 a gallon. I think that's a laugh, just $4 a gallon. Try $8. The dollar will tumble against the euro. Hezbollah forces in southern Lebanon, interpreting the war as an attack on all Shiites, will fire rockets into northern Israel. Israel, already struck by missiles from Tehran, will begin retaliatory raids on Lebanon and Iran. Pakistan, here's the fun part, kids, with a huge Shiite minority, will reach greater levels of instability. The unrest could result in the overthrow of the weakened American ally, President Pervez Musharraf, and usher into power Islamic radicals. Pakistan could become the first radical Islamic state to possess a nuclear weapon. And we thought it was all about Iran. Silly us. The neat little war with Iran, which few Democrats oppose, has the potential to ignite a regional inferno. I would suggest World War III. We have rendered the nation deaf and dumb. We no longer have the capacity for empathy. We prefer to amuse ourselves with trivia and gossip that pass for news rather than understand. We are blinded by our military prowess. We believe that huge explosions and death are an effective form of communication, and the rest of the world is learning to speak our language. Thank you, Chris Hedges. That's over at alternet.org. And that's, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just a little bit of the fun that could happen. I don't want none of it. How about you? Let's talk to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm a little spooked.
Yeah, believe me. I know exactly what you mean. You know, read the article, and World War III is exactly what they're talking about.
These crazy bastards are sitting in a rowboat on a sea of gasoline asking around for a match.
Well, and you know, what's your justification for attacking Iran? Because it's run by a madman? Maybe we ought to have attacked ourselves, for Christ almighty, if that's the reason for going.
I mean,
because we're run by a madman also.
I love this country with my heart and my soul and all my being. And what this does to me, Wayne, I can't hardly put words to. Who's going to stop us? We need to be stopped. Who's going to stop us?
And I mean, the unfortunate thing about that is there's, you know, I mean, I've sent emails to my congressmen and senators, and I'm sure a lot of people have, but there's not enough of us. There's too many people that are, you know, well, just like the article says, they're, you know, too concerned about, you know, Paris Hilton and all the other idiots and, you know, Fox News and, you know, the whole nine yards. Wow.
And the sad thing, and the saddest thing out of this, and I've gotten some sense for this, and it disturbs me a great deal, Wayne, is that even people on our side, progressives, liberals, if you will, where Iran is concerned, have drunk the Kool-Aid.
Look at Barack Obama. Look at his comments.
Yeah.
I mean, my God. I don't know that I'd call him a progressive, but I mean, you know, he's way out of line, too. And, you know, the sad thing is, when you look at that whole Middle East, I mean, Iran is almost the only hope. I mean, because of their population being, I forget exactly what it is. It's, you know, over 60% of their population is under 25.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and those people, you know, those young kids don't want war.
They want a pair of Levi's. That's what
exactly.
They want.
Exactly. They want to westernize. They, you know, they would welcome. You know, why aren't we working with those? Try to change the regime there without bombing them.
Well, see, that's the crazy thinking that's going on. I mean, this is the thinking of magical thinking. They talk about it in terms of how addicts and alcoholics and so forth think. We we've put it in print that we think that if we start bombing the snot out of Iran, that suddenly all those kids that just want a pair of blue jeans are going to go, oh, cool, we're getting bombed. Hey, look, they killed mom. Let's rise up and overturn
exactly.
The government. They're going
to turn around and say, well, you know, those people, those crazy bastards that are running our government are right.
Yeah.
That's what they're, and,
I mean,
you know, they're all going to join in the thing.
You know, these right-wingers in this country, Wayne, they like to use that, you know, my country right or wrong. But they're the only ones in the world that get to do that. The United States is the only one that's my country right or wrong. Nobody else said, no, you know, the kids, they have to say, you know, down with the mullahs, down with the Ahmadinejad. No, they're not. They're going to run to them and they're going to embrace them. Because
yes,
an attack on one is an attack on all.
Well, who the hell could blame them? You know, if you attack that, well, it's, well, they're crazy. But listen, that's, I wanted to bring up a point.
Right.
About our little B-52 flying the nuclear bombs?
Yeah.
I used to work for Boeing Aircraft.
Okay.
And I worked strictly on B-52s. And I don't know if people realize, you know, B-52s, well, first B-52 was built in 1952. The last one was built in 1962. So that means that this aircraft, even if it's the last one they built, is 45 years old.
Jesus.
They built 744 of them. There's only like 85 or 90 that are still in service. And, I just think about, you know, I mean, I was working on them in 1968, 9, and 70, and these things are still flying.
Well, I mean, that speaks to the good work of the Boeing people, I guess, but...
Nothing lasts forever.
Well, you know, even, and I'm no scientist, but even metal has its tensile limits, doesn't it?
That it does. And, you know, I mean, they were, you know, that's the B-52 Stratofortress.
Mm-hmm.
Stratofortress is, you know, its official name. Now, you know, people in the Air Force that flew it and people on Boeing that, you know, maintained them. And, you know, I used to work for what they called a Skyspeed team. And over the years, I mean, every B-52 they built, well, the next one they built was better than the last one they built. And that's our job, was to upgrade the older airplanes, you know, with equipment, new electronics, new stuff that they were putting on the new planes. And, we didn't refer to them, and nobody in the Air Force referred to them as Stratofortresses. They were called BUFF. And that stood for big, ugly, fat, and I'll let everybody figure out what the last F stands for.
Yeah, duck.
But, I mean, they are truly a remarkable airplane. But 45 years old, pal. And like I say, that's if they're flying the newest one, or the last one that was built.
Well, see, but I don't even buy the backstory on this, Wayne. I don't buy this business of we've got to get it from... You know, you've had these cruise missiles, these nuclear cruise missiles, and they've been stored or, you know, kept or armed or whatever at Minot, North Dakota.
Yep.
And you've got to take them all. I mean, I'm looking at a map of the United States right now. I see North Dakota, okay? And I see Louisiana. And you've got to take them from damn near Canada to damn near the Gulf of Mexico to decommission them? Why? What are you going to do with them in Louisiana that you couldn't do with them in North Dakota? Do I make sense?
Yeah, you make sense. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of baloney. You know, it's unthinkable what they're doing, but, you know.
There are layers of psychology at work here that we can't even begin to contemplate, Wayne. And I'm not talking about tinfoil helmet stuff. I'm talking about the stuff that the Pentagon pays for with our tax dollars year in and year out, figuring out how to keep the American people terrorized.
Well, they got me terrorized, I'll tell you that.
Well, if they flew one, how many have they flown?
Who knows?
I mean, was this the first five or six cruise missiles that they were decommissioning down to Louisiana?
I find that hard to believe. I find the whole decommissioning thing hard to believe.
Well, I do too, and that's step two in sort of the paranoid analysis here, Wayne, because the way I read the story, the warheads were supposed to be removed from the cruise missiles before they were attached to the plane, before they were flown to Louisiana. Now, based on my previous questions, what can you do with them in Louisiana that you can't do in North Dakota? You can ship them to the Persian Gulf a hell of a lot easier. That's what you can do.
Well, that's exactly right.
Without the warheads.
Exactly. And Barksdale has B-52s. So, you know. It's scary.
Shuttling assets?
Pardon me?
Shuttling assets?
Yeah.
And, of course, from Barksdale, I mean, in the past, they've taken off, and they fly to, what is it, Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. Isn't that our staging point for B-52 raids on the Middle East?
Right. And, well, listen, you could fly them from anywhere. You know, so you send up a tanker, you know, KC-135. They refuel in midair. I mean, you know, they could go indefinitely. As long as you keep filling them back up, and you could fill them back up right at, you know, 30 or 40,000 feet, and they could keep flying. But,
you know, we had that story that Vladimir Putin over in Russia has ordered a resumption of basically their version of NORAD flights. Remember that a couple of weeks ago?
Yep.
Could this be the front end of that? I mean, I'm trying to think the way these crazy little bastards in the White House think.
Well,
you know, was that meant to sort of be a little shot across the bow for Vladimir Putin?
Who knows? Who knows? But these people are absolutely frightening, and just like the article says, we're on the verge of World War III. I mean, they think that they are going to be able to do this, and there's not going to be any retaliation from anybody or anything. And like you say, you know, Cossack was saying over 1,200 targets. I'd say they're going to miss more than one. And then what? Well, just, you know, the Green Zone, Israel retaliates, Pakistan.
And frankly, Israel's the joker in the deck because they've got, what, 100, 200 nuclear weapons that they won't admit to?
Exactly.
They've never signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Agreement?
Right, and, you know, one nuclear weapon, and, that's it. Then everybody, even if it's perceived to be nuclear, somebody's going to retaliate. Then everybody else has to retaliate. Then what?
Then the cockroaches take over.
Exactly. But I don't know. I
wish we could stop them.
I do too, and I still encourage people to, you know, write an email and call your congressman and your senators and tell them to stop these idiots. But the Democratic-controlled Congress has been a great disappointment, and I don't really have a whole bunch of faith that they're going to do anything to stop anything.
You know, I am kind of proud of us, though, Wayne. We said way back before the 2006 elections that we would be harder on the Democrats than we were on the Republicans, because we had a right to expect more intelligent, decent, and moral governmental representative out of the Democrats. I think we've kept our word on that.
I haven't thought of it in those terms, but I believe you're right. Well, and rightfully so too. They're earning all the criticism that they're getting.
Yeah, they are. And you know, with Barack Obama running around saying that all options are on the table and we're going to get tough with Iran. You know, it's just so much BS, Wayne.
Well, and then what? But the week before, I go talk to everybody. What was that? Everybody except Iran?
Who we're going to get tough on?
Right.
You know, I got news. They're not leading the life of Riley over there as it is.
No, they're not.
You know, those under 25s, they are disaffected, and they would like to have a change in their government, and they're trying. But we're going to, anything that's happening over there, we're going to set back 100 years by doing what's being talked about.
We're going to set the whole world back out probably further than 100 years.
Yeah.
Probably further than 100 years.
Wheels are going to get exciting again.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, look what I got.
Oh, God.
Oh, mercy. Wayne, I appreciate it, brother.
All right, pal.
Be talking to you.
All right, man. Have a...
Bye now.
Bye.
And our good friend Cindy up in Washington State also chimed in with an email. She said, did you think I was kidding? Yes, they are antique B-52s. God, 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 what is going on? To Susan on the phones. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
just a point to bring up. It's worse than you think.
It always is.
Yeah. If this goes off, say we bomb Iran. First of all, the immediate reaction is going to be the billions of bombs all over the planet will take this quite rightly as a war on Islam, because that's exactly what it is, and declare jihad from all over the world. Europe, Asia, including the United States. We've got that problem. Then Israel will probably join in.
Well, that's what Chris Hedges is saying in that article, yeah.
Yeah, that will bring in China. That will bring in Russia.
Oh, there's all kinds of ugly here because, Susan, we don't know what kind of treaties that have been signed in secret.
And all of those missiles that Russia has aimed at the United States. Now, they're decaying, but I'm sure a fair amount of them work. Let's face it, a missile's real simple. A nuclear missile is a real simple little item. It's an explosive device wrapped around a chunk of fissionable.
On top of a gyroscope.
Put it on top of a rocket. The complicated part is the delivery system.
Sure. Well, Iran can't reach us. They can certainly reach our ships in the Persian Gulf. And what scares me is we run around acting like people are stupid, Susan, and they're not. The Iranians are not stupid people. Okay?
Do you know what I would do if I was the Iranians? I would go out and buy me a really dirty bomb someplace. And I would very publicly park it on top of my oil fields and say, guys, you bomb us, we're setting this off and contaminating the entire lot.
Well, in Chris Hedges' article, he also talked about the potential for attacks on the oil refineries and pumping fields of Saudi Arabia. But the one that just, because I'm concerned with the human cost here, at the same time that we're raining death and destruction on, you know, some guy who sells falafel on a stick in Tehran.
Yeah.
They're gonna slaughter our soldiers in Iraq.
With great abandon.
And we're not gonna be able to stop them.
No, we're not. They are targets.
Yeah.
The sacrifice. Oh, and by the way, the B-52 with the missiles, they said they were going for disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Nuclear fissionables that are being disposed of are military are disposed of through Hanford.
Well, I understand that, that's the idea. They weren't the nuclear warheads weren't supposed to be shipped to Barksdale. That's the mistake of all of this. That's the supposed mistake.
Yeah, right.
It was supposed to be these cruise missiles without the warheads on them. I personally think that we're probably trying to scrape up every last thing that crawls or flies to drop on Iran.
Yeah, and as for the antique B-52s, yeah, they're antiques, but they have been reconditioned, redone over. They're using cannibalized parts. They have a boneyard like you would not believe to recondition these planes in. So that they could go in and practically rebuild them from scratch. And until the literal frame just literally falls apart, they can keep flying. I love them to death. They're beautiful airplanes. I don't like their purpose, but as far as the plane itself, it's gorgeous.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
It, on the ground, it looks like a pregnant duck. Once in the air, it's the most beautiful airplane you've ever seen until it starts doing what it's designed to do. If it just flew, it would be one thing. But once it starts bombing, then I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, apparently it was the warheads they were carrying had a yield anywhere from 5 to 150 kilotons. That should be enough to sort of make you sit bolt upright sweating in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Susan, dear, have yourself a wonderful night.
Yeah.
Time to wrap up.
One sobering thought.
Okay.
The lucky will be the ones who don't survive.
Yeah, I know. And then we turn it over to the cockroaches.
Yeah. For 1,000 years or more, 1,000,000. You have a nice night.
As nice as it can be.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Well, so much for prayer meeting. I had a story about a pervy preacher. Maybe we'll do that when we wrap stuff up on Friday. Not in the mood for pervy preachers. Look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It is what it is, okay? I mean, this is a hell of a mess these little monsters are going to get us into. And if they're just jerking our chain to ratchet up the fear, here, news flash to George Bush, you've succeeded. I'm scared. I'm terrified, George. My bowels have turned to water. Okay, but not over the Iranians, you bastard. I am scared to death of you and yours. Because when I look at my little ones, I don't have a hard time imagining little ones on the ground in Natanz or Isfahan or Tehran. And you know what, George? Your party's the one that beats on that right to life plank. But you're surrounded with people who tell you that those little ones there don't have a right to life. Because, you monster, those are the ones who are going to die. You'll never kill Ahmadinejad. You're not going to kill Khomeini, Humeini, Homeini. You're not going to kill any of them. They got places to go and hide. But the man who dips out rosewater-flavored ice cream in the summer sun and hands it to a child has nowhere to hide. Nowhere to hide. Write your congressman. March in the streets. Scream. Whatever you can do. A program reminder for you. I had actually expected perhaps to hear from our good friend Peter Godbold this evening, but apparently he's tied up. One of his clients had a total computer disaster, and you know, riding across the plains on a horse named Strictly Confidential, Peter ran to the rescue, rode to the rescue, and has been very, very tied up in all of that. And as such, he's not going to have a show this evening, probably nor tomorrow night nor the night after. He is up to his neck in alligators and doing everything in his power merely to make luggage. So tonight's Strictly Confidential will be a repeat performance. It is a fantastic one, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. In the meantime, join us for another day of fabulous live liberal programming tomorrow. I look forward to it. I hope you do as well. Thank you, Agnes, for producing. Thank you all of you who called, who wrote, who sat, tore at your hair, sat in sackcloth and ashes and screamed at the speakers. Thank you. And Gina, RMR, it's all for you. Yeah.
This is the Quality News Network. The three terror suspects arrested in Germany today had been under surveillance for 9 months. They were said to be planning massive car bomb attacks on American targets in Germany. Upon capture, they had the materials that equaled the destructive force of 1,200 pounds of TNT and other bomb-making supplies. The series of thwarted attacks were to be carried out by 8 men in all. 5 of them are still on the loose. Another 8 men, 8 Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists, were arrested in Denmark on Monday, just the day before yesterday, on suspicions of planning a bombing there. Those suspects had been under surveillance for quite some time also. Coalition forces arrested a key terrorist suspect with ties to Iran during a raid in Karbala, Iraq, today. At the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Business Summit in Sydney, Australia, Australian Prime Minister John Howard pledged his commitment to keep Australian forces in Iraq. After the announcement, President Bush signed a treaty granting Australia better access to top-secret U.S. military technology and intelligence. Former Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega may not be going to France after all. He's due to be released from a Florida prison on Sunday. France wants him next to serve time in a money laundering conviction, but a U.S. judge has stayed his extradition until Noriega's attorneys can prove that he won't be treated as a POW under the rules of the Geneva Convention. They say instead that France will treat him as a common criminal. Panamanians fear if he doesn't go to France, he'll come home. Republican Fred Thompson will make it official just after midnight tonight. He'll use his website to announce his candidacy for president. Prior to that, during the Republican debate this evening, Thompson will be running ads on the Fox Channel. Fraudulent Democratic fundraiser Norm